Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuned in to Culture Freedom Radio, the home of Lions Vibe Radio.
Recording started.
Liberation Tabernacle Ministry and much, much more. Talk radio that wake up the minds of the people. This is JoJo Bubba right coming in the house right here. I just want to take this time out to tell you fellas about the radio show that I listen to. It's Culture Freedom Radio Network. When I like to get some knowledge from some colors, I mean some Negroes, I mean some Afro-Americans, I tune in right here to Culture Freedom Radio. Yes, I'm an old country white guy, but I loves me some Culture Freedom. Man, if they don't keep it raw and uncut and off the chain, I tells you, oh boy. Hey, y'all better keep it locked right here with JoJo Bubba, man, because this is my show. This is the station I listen to for raw and uncut Conscious Talk Radio. Culture Freedom, man, in the house. Yeah, because I got friends in low places.
Yes. Yeah, man. JoJo, where you been, JoJo? Where you been, JoJo? Where you been hanging out at? Yes, sir, most definitely, brother. All up, brother. I'm just trying to test out some of y'all anyway. This ain't working. Let me get back to my other mic. All up.
There we go. I had to test some out, man, to see how I was sounding, make sure I wasn't breaking up. But, yeah, evidently I see. I'm still breaking up on Blog Talk with that microphone. But, yeah, so how y'all doing out there, brothers? How are y'all doing out there today? Welcome in. Welcome in right here to Culture Freedom one more time. Welcome in most definitely into the house, man. Yes, sir. Let's get this right here. Let's get this right here.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, sir, indeed. Yes, sir, indeed. Oh, yes, sir. Y'all in the house right here with Culture Freedom Radio Network, most definitely up in his house. Hey, man, we're going to be in his house right here just talking to you tonight. Another subject matter, just a little conversation piece we got right here for y'all tonight, man. Hey, let's talk about this subject. It's called Let's Talk About Kemet, the Bible, and the Conscious Community. Oh, man, yes, sir, indeed. Interesting, y'all. Let's talk about Kemet, the Bible, and the Conscious Community. Yes, sir. And before we get deep into that, I'm going to make sure to give y'all this number, sisters and brothers. So, hey, yes, sir, the call-in number, if you just want to, if you have any thoughts, comments, or anything that you want to share yourselves, I just want to listen in through your phone. You might have to run to the store or something. You want to keep on listening to the show. You can do so at, and then we're going to overtime. You most definitely want this number to catch the overtime show. So we do 2 hours live and an extra hour over. So the number one more time right here for the show to call in. Area starting with the area code is 563. That is the area code. And the rest of the number is 999-3081. Yes, sir. The area code is 563-999-3081. That is the call-in number to chime in with us today. We're not going to hold on. I'm not going to do no whole long intro telling y'all about how to do this and how to do that. A lot of y'all know by now. But, man, yeah, we just want to get into this thing here tonight, man. Let's talk about Kemet, the Bible, and the Conscious Community. How are y'all? How the hell y'all come up with this topic? I'm glad y'all asked. I am glad y'all asked. Check it out, please, brother. Y'all know I've made this statement several times on here, and I said that not to really just beat up on anybody who's, you know, what it says, dead or passed on. But not even those who passed on. But I say sometimes a lot of our scholars that I'm finding out, this is my personal opinion here, y'all. I'm going to tell you, this is my personal opinion. This is not the opinion of none of the other brothers on this show. And also, I got to say this too, hell, I forgot this one. This show is Friday night panel, y'all. Discussion is always hosted by your panel of brothers in the house right here. every Friday night. Y'all can catch us at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We have In the House with us always. We got our big brother in the house, the alpha male. Y'all, not just any kind of male. Y'all, he's the alpha male. Yes, sir. We got alpha male in the house with us always. We got the chief justice in the house, the chief justice of the peace. Brother Justice in the house with us as always. And none other than your brother, the rabbi. The rabbi. Not only just he's the rabbi, y'all, he's the chief rabbi. The big chief, David Israel, is in the house with us as well. And I am held by both names, y'all, Brother Sunray 9 and Brother Ariyah. We are y'all hosts right here. The host is, hell, I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say, y'all. We are y'all hosts right here on Friday night. Man, so join the conversation. But here we go. Dive back into it. I had to get that in there. But I say sometimes a lot of these people out there are real disingenuous, or shall I say the word, dishonest about some things when it comes down to historical facts. Historical facts. Sometimes there is some biasness in some things when it comes down to history. And so what I'm going here is like sometimes I say like, and I'm really say about dealing with a lot of stuff, dealing with Kemet a lot of times, right? You know, we have our historians and it's like they try to lock us into one place. And it's like, you know, for brothers and sisters who we say that we are Israel or Israelites or Hebrews, we have, this is why this show is called Kemet, the Bible, and the Conscious Community. We have brothers and sisters say, no, y'all ain't no goddamn Hebrews. We ain't no goddamn Hebrews or whatnot. You know, y'all was all in Africa and, you know, a whole bunch of that, all that Bible stuff is made up or it was copied. We're going to get into a lot of this tonight, y'all. It was copied and stolen from out of Egypt and all of this type of stuff. And a lot of this stuff they get from some of these scholars. And, you know, a lot of things we might read from some of their books. Or something, you know, it just be regurgitative shit that we don't really know. We just hear it in a video or whatever, right? It just be regurgitated. No research of the researchers and where they got their information from. And so, you know, a lot of time we got a lot of brothers who disingenuous, or I say dishonest about a lot of stuff. I'm going to use that word, dishonest about some history. Even our brother, the elder who has passed on, brother better known as Dr. Ben, y'all know there are some things that even came out about him that says a lot of things that some people saying he fabricated some things or distorted some history. Y'all do know that? There's some things that said he distorted some things in history. And it came down to history. So we do have something. I got a clip I'm going to play probably after a while we get into this from a conversation piece that was had on Brother Sarnetta's show. And about this is what the conversation they was having. They had, y'all know what they call them, Brother Garfield and Black Minister Jesus. And he had some guys from the, I guess, representing comedic side. You know, Sarnetta's supposed to have a little team kind of representing the comedic side. And they were having discussion about the, was Jesus, I'm going to use that term, was Jesus an actual historical person, or did he actually exist? And now I give them the part about what they're saying is they was like, even Black Minister Jesus them like said, yes, he did. He was a historical person. Now, and this is what they were made clear. They're not talking about all of this miracle stuff. He was the son of God and all of this other stuff. We know there's a lot of Roman fabricated stuff. We'll get into that probably in the show too. But they were just talking about as a historical person, did he exist? And, you know, they did admit that, you know, like he could have been an actual person, but after he died, people added on all that godship and he's the son of God and, you know, all this other stuff on him. But they were just having a discussion about did he actually exist. And there was a video that was played, and I will play that video, pull it up, and I will play some excerpts that they played in it. And there was a part in there where Black Minister Jesus, because he said, yes, Jesus did exist, that he was played with Dr. John Henry Clark, and they was John Henry Clark and our brother Shaka Bhattashango. Y'all remember Shaka Bhattashango? Yeah, and he believed in Jesus, you know, the realistical Jesus, and he, you know, believed in all that. Now, all that other, like all that other crap about him dying for your sin, I don't think a lot of them brothers believed in that. They just believed in him as saying he was a black revolutionary brother of his day. Now, there's some deep stuff to that, y'all. But let me hurry up, trying to get into this, trying to lay down the platform so the brothers understand what the hell this show is about, my dumb self, because I just came over this today. Out of despair at the moment. But anyway, so the Black Minister Jesus played the clip with Dr. B and them talking about Jesus' character, a person, a Yahshua, what he would have been called. They're showing that he was a historical person. It was Dr. John Henry Clark and Brother Shaka Bhattashango. And they played some stuff. And then when Jabarium came in, they was trying to say that Black Minister Jesus and Garfield then was taking what Dr. Ben said out of context. And so with Jabari, when he played the clip, because they accused of Black Minister Jesus them of cutting some of the part of the clip and, you know, making it fit their narrative. So when Jabari him came in, hell, they actually was doing that. And because I'm going to play a key part in there, and you have to really focus on. And these people, I'm telling y'all, what they would do, they know how to control a narrative. If you're not paying attention, and they will set you up, it's like, you know what I'm saying, how do they say, make you, if you see something, they'll make you think that you don't see with your eyes what you think you're seeing. Even though you're looking at the shit, they will make, they are so good and clever and cunning, they will, when you looking at this, but they will make you say, hey, man, that ain't really what you're looking at. This is how they're wiring people up to actually see. This is why I say some of these people are actually so dishonest. They're so dishonest, and their so-called scholarship, especially in this goddamn so-called conscious community, is just goddamn ridiculous. But anyway, so in this clip, they're going to be talking about, Dr. Ben was talking about how this historical Jesus that they had in the Romans, when they got a hold of, they created a myth about a resurrected Jesus. Now, it's just like probably with Osiris. I'm going to use Osiris, what they call Osiris. Some people say he really existed. Some people say he didn't. But like I said, he might have been a real king. But after he passed, people put all of this mystical, magical stuff and said he was the god of this and he was the god. A lot of people, they done a lot of things like that. And, you know, they put god titles on them. They had mystical powers. They became superheroes after they died, and they never did. And I tell y'all, I'm going to give y'all a quick example. It's just like those of us who know the history of the Nation of Islam and know something about the Nation of Islam. Now, they said that at the time that Farad Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad's teacher, was here, he never told them in person that he was God in person. Now, it is said that after he left, that's when Elijah Muhammad started teaching this thing that he was actual God in person. But he said he never actually told them that never told them to say that. They never said it when he was in their presence teaching amongst them. And he never told Elijah Muhammad that, because actually on the Supreme Wisdom lesson, it has that he's a prophet on the lessons, not a god. He's a prophet. So Elijah started teaching it after he left, or his disappearance, as some people would say. So he made him a god after he left. And so this is a lot of things that actually happen, even with, you know, in history, even with people like a, you say like a Jesus and stuff. We're going to get deep into this, man. This is a deep thing, but even with what Jabari was doing, they were misleading the people and not being dishonest, because there were some words when they were saying, when Dr. Ben said myth. And this is how they get y'all with a lot of myth. And I'm going to throw this out right fast. I got to hurt with these buttons in here. My question is, a lot of things that the conscious community always talking about, and I'm going to say conscious community, because most of the conscious community that we see are always pushing the Kemet thing, right? The Kemet way and or being the first and all of these type of things. I really don't have a problem with that. Hey, man, you can claim what you want to. I don't have a problem. But my only thing I'm saying is when we see these things are being pushed and saying that, you know, because when you're trying to go against somebody else and tear down their tradition or whatever their faith or whatever it is, right? And you're trying to push all this Kemet stuff on the people. Why aren't you, though, a practitioner of the thing that you're pushing? That is my problem. And I'm saying this just like, for instance, Reggie said it one time. He said it that he's just a historian. Somebody was asking him, and he said, well, I'm just a historian. I don't actually practice this tradition myself. But let a Hebrew come up on there, and boy, they'll tear him down, and, you know, or Israelite, or here, I don't really, not so much the Moors. I'm just going to say the Moors, anybody else. It's mostly Hebrew. They would try to tear you down like a mother sucker, but you're not a practitioner yourself. Now, one person I really would give credit to is Jabari. I would give credit to Jabari because when I say I give credit to, because at least Jabari is a practitioner of the tradition of the Kemetic way. They have a shrine and everything that they, and they have, you know, the prayers and all of these types of things that the Kemetic people done a long time ago. So I give him credit for that. But a lot of people we see, they always bragging about all about this Kemet thing, but they are not practitioners of it. And I'm going to give this here right fast. Because I would like to know, because we did have our elders, Dr. Clark, John Henry Clark, our brother, Dr. Ben. They was espousing a lot of stuff from Kemet. But I would like to know truly, personally. And I'm not trying to, like I said, I'm not trying to, you know, beat up on the elders who especially they had passed away. But I would like to know, because they were teaching this to the people and had our people just so galvanized on Kemet. But what was their personal, what were their personal spiritual belief, or I know they're probably going to say believe, profess? There you go. What was their personal profession? What did they profess in their own personal walk? Exactly what was it that they professed? Do we actually know? And I'm going to read something right fast now, because it was something I was looking at here, because I said something earlier about distorting history. This is from a black, so this ain't no white folks' website. This is from blackpast.org. It's blackpast.org, and it was just talking about African-American history of Dr. Joseph Ben Yonkinen. And there's some other stuff on that other sites kind of say something. But it says Dr. Joseph Ben Yonkinen was a Afrocentric historian Dr. Joseph Ben Yonkinen was, and you know, y'all know this Hebrew too, right? Okay, but we ain't going to get into that. Was an Afrocentric historian whose work is focused mainly on black presence in ancient Egypt. He contends in his writing that the pharaohs came out of the heart of Africa. Check this out, y'all. Out of the heart of Africa. And that the original Jews were from Ethiopia and were black Africans. But do y'all hear that? I thought the Jews and all this shit were just made up. I thought they were just some fictitious characters. I thought that's what they said now. I mean, that's what they thought. Because the people always try to use Dr. Ben as they go against the Hebrews and the Bible and things of that right, nature, right? But anyway, but it said that he contended that the original Jews were from Ethiopia and were black Africans, and that the white Jews adopted the faith and customs later. He has been accused, here we go, he has been accused of distorting history. And since his work contradict the prevailing view of the Egyptians in African history, it is therefore controversial. That's just a little something that it said. But I just want to throw this
this really nugget in there that he said that the pharaohs, you know, came from the heart of Africa. There's no denying that. But he was saying that the original, what they call Jews, were from Ethiopia, which his father was an Ethiopian, which he later denounced, you know, his heritage as being an Ethiopian or whatnot. But, yeah, we're just going to get into some things tonight. Let me get these lines open up to the brothers in the house. We just want to talk about Kimmy and some things. And I get the clip in there a little bit, you know, a little bit later as we get my brothers in here. I want to hold them on too long in the call log, just get everybody on. And we go into the clip and listen to it, that clip, and see what Brother John Henry Clark and was saying, and show y'all how it's a lot of things that these brothers that talk about are being disingenuous. And Brother Justice, we was on a couple of weeks ago. Everybody, mic's open though. But a couple of weeks ago, you know, we was dealing with the subject of Maat and where did that actually come from? Because, you know, the Kemetic brothers always contend that the Bible, the what we call the laws or commandments, was copied, as they say, or stolen out of Egypt, or Kemet, I would say, Kemet. And then also, here's what I'm finding out too. A lot of them truly don't have no damn understanding of what the hell they trying to talk about, especially when they are trying to say when they're relating. A lot of things came out of the Bible actually came out of Kemet, or this was stolen out of Kemet, and this was copied out of Kemet. A lot of this I'm noticing, because I was listening to a lot of them, Brother Chief, they're talking about, this is where I know they don't know a damn thing what they're talking about when they come down to the Bible or the Israelite tradition or the Hebrew tradition, because they always really equating Christianity, or what we talk about the New Testament day, with what came out of, or basically Christianity, I'm just saying older Christianity, what the Romans had, with what came out of Egypt, because they are, you know, equating Jesus being associated with Haru and being a savior and the virgin birth and all of that. They always equate, you know, that story with Jesus. And brother, really just you and I, brother, we don't have to do, we've got an Old Testament or Tanakh. We ain't got no stake in that anyway. But my thing to the Kemetic community again is, right, okay, so if the Bible did come out of Egypt, out of Kemet, everything was copied out of Egypt. I mean, word for word, if it was copied, or it was, or just say repackaged, but it's Kemet. My problem, my thing would be, okay, well, what the hell, why y'all got a problem then? Why do y'all have a problem with it? If all of that is Kemetic information, maybe just the name been changed a little and maybe a little repack. Why the fuck y'all got a problem with it? Excuse my French. What's the goddamn problem with it? Because it's Kemetic information, right? What's the goddamn problem? Why y'all not following it then, or even recognizing it, looking at it, wouldn't say, hey, well, just going with it? Because most of the people, I say again, that has a problem with it don't even follow the Kemetic way anyway. Y'all don't even follow none of the Kemetic way, not original Kemetic way. So it's just like, even with the notion that a lot of the stuff about that's relating to Haru, that's being related to Jesus, y'all say, well, oh, that was copied out of Kemet. Okay, well, y'all should, if y'all say that whole Jesus story was actually a Kemetic story, here's my thing. Why the hell y'all got a problem with following it? If that's actually the Kemetic story in Christian form, why the hell y'all got a problem? Why do y'all have a problem recognizing the Jesus as Haru or just following it then? Because remember now, that's the Kemetic story. Y'all see, even the whole, the Christians, as y'all said, where the Christians got, which they ain't going too much go into that way, I know Justin might touch on it. The whole afterlife story comes from the, what they call a Purim Haru, or the story with, I forget the name of it now, the Papyrus of Ani. They was talking about the afterlife, where you're being judged and your deeds being weighed and whatever you've done being judged. Why do y'all have a problem with Christians believing in the afterlife? Because if they copied it out of Kemet, y'all shouldn't have a freaking problem with it. Number one, you should be in a knowledge of it, because if it can't, because if the Kemetic people was teaching, you're going to be judged for your deeds in the end, since y'all always want to push Kemet, right? That means y'all ought to be the main ones that should be following this, trying to get your life right and be worried about how you're going to be judged at the end. But you know what? You don't hear no goddamn comedic brother and sister say, hey, bro, you better live your life right, because, man, you're going to have to get judged at the end of the world, man. You know, y'all should have been telling Polite that bullshit, and excuse my French, y'all should have been telling Polite that when he was doing his shit, ripping off people and doing his other shit. Hey, Polite, you know, man, you're going to have to meet my art, bro. You're going to have to go before Osai when you die, your judgment. See, y'all, that's why I say y'all are just so goddamn disingenuous. You so busy trying to tear down other folks' shit and somebody came from yours. But listen, at least the Christian people trying to say, man, it's going to be a judgment day, brother. Hey, man, you would die. You better get your life right, brother, before you stand before the judge. They might be saying Jesus, but that's Haru, right? So why y'all not teaching it, man? If all of it was stolen and copied out of there, y'all should be teaching this shit then. I just had to give you something. I had to throw you an alley, give you something to work with, man. I had to give you something to work with. But go ahead. Let me stop preaching.
All right. So I want to say greetings to the brothers on the line, everybody. How's everybody doing? All right.
We're doing
good.
Great there, brother. Uh-oh. We're in trouble.
That's
now.
Good.
Here comes justice.
Now, you know, It's like this. There's a vantage point. All right, take a look at this.
Yes, sir.
When I was small or young, or very young man, my mom put me in the Boy Scouts. Now, I was with the Boy Scouts for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to camp, and we went, you know, different places, you know, with other Boy Scouts, and we meet up with other different Boy Scout groups and did different things. I was one underprivileged young man who never had my Boy Scout uniform. Even though I worked hard to get the merit badges, to get the, you know, the little trinkets that you get when you reach different stages, you know, you can earn different badges and different medals. So I did that, but I didn't have a uniform to put them on. So I was still a Boy Scout, though, and all my fellow Boy Scout members, they knew I didn't have a uniform, but nobody treated me any less than, really. They just noticed that I just never had on a Boy Scout uniform, but everybody else did. But I was still a Boy Scout. I even know the Scouts law still to this day. So, all right. I wanted to heat that up with the Ma'at story, or the lifestyle of Ma'at. Now, it's not that if you think that someone should be a practicing Ma'at person or something, and they're supposed to wear certain things, and they're supposed to look a certain way, and perhaps do some of the traditional things that perhaps Ma'at people did or do, that still is something that, you know, is a possibility, or something that it can be done. And let's just say if someone is a Muslim, they may decide, well, you know, I'm a Muslim. Allah is my God, all of this, right? But they're just not comfortable wearing a certain garb or something, or something maybe to it, where they were raised up a certain way and they felt like, well, look, this particular teacher said that, you know, we don't have to wear these type of clothes. These are a different style of clothes. We can wear our style and still be comfortable in our skin and still be Muslim. So if whatever thing you may be doing – You don't have to wear it on your sleeve. You don't have to boast about, I'm this, and I'm this guy, and I'm holier than thou. Because that's what most of them do in all of the groups. They wear their things, and they feel they should be treated some extra kind of way because they're wearing something that they want to stand out and be seen. My thing is this. You could be whatever you want to be, and you don't have to wear all of the clothes, but if you have this in your mind and head and your heart, then you're still what it is that you want to be or that you think you are. You don't have to do some rituals type things. Like, see, with my eye, it's a natural thing. It's just as natural as the day is long. It's nothing that you got
to
do extra.
You don't have to do the rituals?
There is no – see, that's when people come in to something they don't have an idea of your nature. Our nature don't have rituals. Our nature is our nature. Our nature is pure. We don't have to go and keep doing something over and over again. We got it good. We are the original man. So everything that we do is correct as long as we keep it in tune with the notion of what is right, what is true, what is honorable, what is dignified for you to be. Not that you're going to go and do something that's opposed to those things, but if you stay in line with truth and righteousness, then you can't really fall from that. The only way that happens is when you come in and change up what it is that is already in place by saying that you're doing something wrong here. And let me tell you that you can't do that no more. You got to do it this way. So then we go and do it how these new people came and said, we got to do it. And then the next thing you know, we lose everything because we lost our natural, normal way. And that happened with ancient Kemet when, prior to it being a desert, there was fertile soil all around, and they grew crops and all kinds of vegetables and fruits and whatnot for a very long time, until after several invasions of people from the outside coming in, changing up things and doing it by, you know, like by a threat. Cause like, okay, if you don't do this, we're going to cut your heads off. That's it. We the king now. I'm the king now. And so we got to go by this, and we feeling miserable because somebody is a foreigner, took the throne and did it all incorrectly by violence and you know, murder and death and all that to people that wasn't expecting for someone to come out from the outside and do this. So once we started following behind these peoples, and then we might kick them out, after 100 years or 200 years, finally somebody is able to get rid of these people. And then we hold it down for a short time to another group of invaders come in and do the same damn thing that just happened to us. And then the plague happens. The whole thing gets washed out. It gets covered up in a great flood. And it's everything is ruined because this is what's predicted that would happen if we were to follow foreigners and fall from doing things the straight and narrow, the righteous way that is natural to us from Ma'at and the system of Ma'at. Ma'at was the principal. Ma'at was the female counterpart to Tahuti and was the symbol of truth and justice. The principles of Ma'at were used as a moral code for the living and the standards that the dead would be judged by. The Kemetans believed that when one died, their soul would be weighed against these principles. Then it would be determined whether one would receive their heavenly reward. If you got 42 principles of Ma'at And in the 42 principles that you find, 10 of them are in the Bible called commandments. And so we're missing out on obeying ourselves and our nature if we can't even live up to 10 commandments, but we got 42 things that reflect for who we are in our souls and our existence through our spirit to go into the hereafter amongst our death in this world that we're living.
Hey, but just, so, I want to find the right fact because you said a key element. You said a key point. That's why I want to stop you. Because you said, hold up, my ISD. Now, what do you say about the, you said something, you said a word. You said Ma'at is the moral, what did you say?
The principles of Ma'at were used as a moral code for the living and the standard that the dead would be judged by.
That right there. What, the moral code that they would be judged by. That's what I'm saying. So, I'm saying that, again, the moral code. That means there's a standard that you have to follow these codes and live in your life. And if you go by, this is why, okay, if it's, you say, and I'm going to give you something about rituals in a minute. You said we don't need no rituals, but I'm going to give you something. This is a comedic book I'm finna read from. See, I'm Sun Ray 9, and I'm going to get my comedic thing tonight. But anyway, I'm dusting off my comedic books, and I'm playing y'all about dusting them off. I keep my
I'm gonna go dust anyway, off one over here too. Go ahead.
But the thing here is, brother, this is why you have, as you know, y'all might say the confessions, because this is a moral code that somebody gave you. We don't know who gave it. There's a moral code when you made the statement that when you're standing in front of the judge and saying, "I have not stolen, have not." I have not done these type of things. That means you lived according to the code that was given to you. This is why you're making this confession. Morally, I have done everything right in my life that I was supposed to, according to these standards, these codes, the 42, whatever, negative confession. I ain't broke not one of these codes that y'all gave. I have lived a moral life according to these. So, I live a moral life because I'm giving codes. So this is the thing again, why I go back and say about being a practitioner, that when, and you're saying that we don't, you know, basically have to, it's not about wearing the clothing. There are some traditional clothing. Now, you know, doggone way, you're not going to be wearing the outfits that they wore back in the day. You know, you're going to be running around with those. But there you mentioned the Muslims and things and the women who wearing the hijab and the brothers wearing the jalabiyas and things of this nature. Well, we wear fringes and we wear something because it's customary. You see in Nigeria and other places, they have customary dress according to their customs and their traditions. So I'm not saying Shaka Atmos. He still wear the halak. I mean, what's it called? Excuse me. The haru braid, the lock. I'm not saying nobody got to wear that. I mean, that's your prerogative, Bobby.
Man, that ain't no whole braid. That's a weirdo braid. He weird.
But that's what they say Haru was. So you calling Haru weird because now he's
mimicking. That's the white Haru. That's the white Haru.
And to see that, now we're going with the racism thing. Now I ain't, you know, the white, black, who I ain't getting into that.
Yeah,
because
that's the Hollywood
seen,
rule. That's the Hollywood creation.
Now I've seen pictures too. Now I don't know whoever the artist is. Y'all got to blame whoever the artist. I've seen pictures and all that shit too. So I'm not getting into that. But just what I'm saying again, brother, to make it thing. What I'm going is people are not being practitioners of this craft. Now, you said about rituals. Now, one thing, goddammit, I can say again, I give praise to when I was as a Nawabian. One thing about a Nawabian, whatever school of thought that we was in at that time, goddammit, you lived that school of thought. You lived that. You practiced that damn way of life. Even when we was in the comedic school and we had rituals, we did rituals and the ceremonies, and that's what I'm going again, brother. So we understood the life that these comedic stood, what we were professing. And so when you mentioned that you don't have to do rituals, brother, you're not going to understand. This is why a lot of people saying don't understand. and really understand, even when I say the country community, they don't understand none of the Hebrew traditions or hell any other bodies because they never been really practitioners. When you become like, it's some things like even with this Israelite, being an Israelite tradition, I was ordained as a minister, as a Christian pastor. And I, even though like I said I read the Bible and I'm in the Bible, same as the Israelites, but I was trained in a way to have its Christology, Christian mindset. So even though I'm reading the same Bible, but I'm reading it with Jesus in mind. I'm reading it with, you know, with Jesus in the mind. But then when I came into it and started knowing, and even with, I basically was in the New Testament. That's what they teach you, basically focus on the New Testament. But you even read the so-called Old Testament, as they call Old Testament, with Jesus in mind. But anyway, so now I'm more into it and I'm learning, I've learned a lot about the ancient Hebrews or the true Israelites. And I know, I see the scriptures a hell of a lot different now. Because I'm in the tradition, I'm living in it and studying what does it actually mean to
be
different when you're a practitioner, bro. It's totally different. You don't get no fucking understanding being no observant. It's like being a Mason, being operative and speculative. I'm not saying I'm a Mason, y'all, but y'all understand. Being perspective and operative. You understand more shit when you in an operation. But I'm going to read this part right fast about a ritual. Just hold it one second. But you said about ritual. Now, this is a book from a brother. He's an Egyptian teacher, a priest, whatnot. Write a lot of excellent books. But this one thing he had to say here in this book. He says, in African religion, storytelling archive the purpose of transmitting myth, which contain the basic concept of human identity as part of a culture and offer insight into the nature of the universe. Myth also contains a special language of self-knowledge and also proverbs that provide moral education for the ethnic society. Here we go. Rituals, what's that word again? Rituals are formal ceremonies. Rituals are formal ceremonies and informal into virtual living practices which allow a human being to come into harmony within themselves. Rituals are ceremonies and informal virtual living practices which allow a human being to come into. So this is why you have ceremonies and rituals. This is why, and I'm going to shut up on this one here. This is why the Masons have rituals and reenactments of certain things in the Bible and other places to get an understanding, to understand the stories, reenactments, ceremonies, rituals, to understand the stories, the legends of the stories. So if you're not practicing, you're not going into these ceremonies, having ceremonies. It's like, again, we had the raising of Osiris, what they call the raising of Osiris, the raising of Osiris ceremony, and what they call the opening of the mouth ceremony. Until you actually see it actually be done, actually see this shit for yourself, see, then you understand the legend. You understand the myth behind it. When you see it, you being a practitioner, you see this. This is why rituals, this is why people, we have things, not just being a spectator of it. You're a practitioner. That's what I mean by saying a practitioner. You understand the craft that you're in.
All right. So I get it. And, you know, someone reaches a certain point where their household has decided that they're going to do certain ritual, traditional things that have been incorporated with Ma'at thousands of years ago that they found out about that they find would be essential for themselves too. That's not a problem. Excuse me. That's not a problem. And neither is just understanding that you are the book. You are the story. You are what they were before someone came later and said, this is what we need to take a look at. No, you're still the same person. You still have those natural instincts, those natural your innate nature of goodness and righteousness as a being, as someone who was birthed from a mother, who had a father, you know, who they were people who practiced righteousness, who taught righteousness. You could grow up in a home that doesn't teach that. And then what do you end up having? A wayward child. But if you are brought up in a home where you can call it whatever religion it is, but if it's got a moral code that people in the house are using that is based on righteous principles, then it's going to work no matter what religion that you find yourself in, as long as you're incorporating these principles of don't hurt someone, don't call a handicapped person a name, or don't disrespect people, and don't steal stuff, and, you know, natural things that you don't need somebody to tell you you shouldn't go and punch somebody in their face and they didn't say nothing to you. You don't really need someone to tell you that. But if you weren't brought up in a home, you might come out the house and see somebody and go across the street and punch them in the face because you weren't taught righteous principles. So you don't need someone to come later and say, let's take a look at what the Egyptians did 2,000-3,000 years ago. You're still the same people. You the same person. All you have done is gone down through the time and reset yourselves to be back to who you used to be. But if you're bombarded with everything else outside of yourself and not looking inside yourself, because the kingdom is within yourself. You see, this is where the spirit of the holy. Hold on, let me finish. I might use the Bible term, but that still comes from Kemet. I know I use the Bible term.
No, but I'm saying you like to philosophize the hell out of some stuff, man. Come on.
Sometimes, let me finish.
You philosophize some shit. Yeah, I'm saying this, brother, because like now you got a problem with somebody writing something down, and it's all in you. Okay, well, Kemet wrote stuff then. Cause it's Kemet. Cause you do know a lot of the stuff from the Bible, as we said in Hebrew tradition. It was not written down. It was not written down. It was like things that was oral tradition. And later somebody said, but hey, before we forget this, man, look, we better write this down. It's the same thing with okay. Do you know every law? Can you quote every law in the land of United? Well, just in Philadelphia. Can you quote every law in the land of Philadelphia? You can't.
Not even four of them.
Okay. Well, I wonder why they write the laws down when they make them up. Why do the legislators write them down? They ought to just make them up. They shouldn't put them on paper. It just y'all ought to know them. Just they ought to say, well, we passed a new law today. The new law is XYZ. You got to remember them now. They don't need to write them down. Y'all ought to remember them. They don't even need to tell you nothing, because number one, it should be embedded in you. You should know this by nature, according to
this. It is. That's all the principles of my eye is. It's really a law book for your soul. That's all it is.
So by nature, it tells you to put on your seatbelt when you get in the car. But I know a lot of people don't put their damn seatbelts on.
No.
So why
do you not? Your intelligence or your own mind tells you that. Like everybody, like you said, everybody's not going to do that.
Okay, because they have seatbelts on. You get caught with your seatbelt on, they would give you a ticket and so on. So they had to pass a law. It had to be a law, and it's written that if you violate this seatbelt law, so XYZ, so and so.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, more people don't wear seatbelts than do. And
I'm just giving
those people, usually those people are unconscious people that don't wear seatbelts. You're conscious, so you go and drive. You throw your seatbelt right on because you're conscious about it. Those people who just jump in the car and drive, they're not conscious about it.
So why do your mother? Why do your mother and father have to train you and teach you certain things when you were a child?
So that you would go the right way. You wouldn't do the wrong thing.
Wait
a
minute.
Hold on.
No, they shouldn't have to teach you shit. Remember, you bought put this shit in you. Your mom and dad ain't got to teach you nothing.
No,
they shouldn't even have to train you to teach you nothing.
No,
then your mom and dad said, boy, you know I raised you better than that, boy. You know damn well
that's
I raised
right.
you.
That's right. Cause you
no,
had
they
to shouldn't have a
teach
parent.
You nothing because you born with
you
this.
You didn't get dropped in the world without nobody in front of you. Somebody was in front of you to teach you. You didn't just drop yourself in the world.
You said all this stuff is born in you. Even
it is,
even the laws of my heart is written. Even the laws of my heart is written.
That's to keep you straight. That is to keep you straight. That's true.
Why they got to write it then, brother? You say it's in you. So, like you were just saying
it
about
it is
the,
in you. Oh, well, they,
well,
I don't know. I mean, they wrote it because that was what they wanted to do to make sure everybody could understand that if we live by these laws, then we will have peace in our community.
It just behooves me to let you see, this is what I was talking about. When it come down to Kemet, people act like Kemet was not, I'm just saying, they didn't have a spiritual system or they was not a religious people. I got tons of goddamn books on Egypt, and everyone I'm looking at, and I'm not talking about none of these conscious community scholars. And everybody that I have, a lot of these say they mention about, oh, here's one. Oh, goddamn, for a matter of fact, it says the mysteries of the Naturian religion and metaphysics. It called it the Naturian or the Natiru religion.
It wasn't a religion.
Well, you better tell this scholar here, this brother, he's not a scholar, but he is a scholar, but he's a teacher.
Right.
He's teach.
Right.
He
it's
teach
not a religion. It's a way of nature.
Way of
it's
life.
A nature. You know, it's nature to be like.
Well, you better
it's
tell a
is.
Lot of these fellows who write this stuff. I wonder why they call it a religion. I'm just you know, why they call it religion. That's what I'm just saying. Because here's one. He called the principles of the Naturian religion in African spirituality. What, again? It says the word religion? Damn.
That's some hijack. Like, a lot of times you're dealing with people who want to create mythology. Like, you said something about myth. Anything you say about a myth is no truth in it. Okay? I'm so sorry to tell you that. But anything that you see that is called a myth is a misleading thing from the truth. They're leading you away from the truth because they don't know the truth. That's why it's called a myth. A myth is something that is not true. That's what a
myth
means. Something that is not true.
A myth as a teaching tool. Do you know that?
I need to hear from Alpha Male. I need to hear from Alpha Male when you get a chance.
Alpha Male ain't gonna pick up for you on it. Ain't on that, man.
No, I didn't say he was. I just want to hear from Alpha Male. He ain't gotta pick up for me.
Oh, Dave, man, where you at today? Come on in here, Dave. Yeah, because a MILF is
yeah,
a
what's up? Hello,
said, I'm reading one bad day. Brother says religion is a constant practice of belief. That's what Alpha Male said. The religion is the constant. It's just like, again, we're talking about ritual.
Right.
Like some religions, Christianity, have a ritual called baptism. That's a ritual for them. Even the communion, where they have every, first of the month. Well, I don't know. I ain't been in church in so long. I don't do that anyway. They have communion. That's a practice. This is something that they do. It's always a ceremony. But again, I'm just going with a lot of things with a lot of brothers. It's not a lot. It ain't everybody in the comedic community. I'm not saying that. But it's a lot of the people who found this goddamn conscious community. Number one, they don't even have – where are these comedic centers to teach this? That's what I want to know. Where are all of these goddamn comedic centers to teach the people the spiritual system out of this? Because I got plenty of books.
You don't need one.
It's Dr. York them. I tell y'all again, I keep saying it. I still got all of my prayer books. Show you how you're supposed to pray and how as a communion when we come together, like, you know, as priests and all what they supposed to do. I got all of that. So you saying we're not supposed? But God damn it, how come they did it? So it was good.
Because they did it because they were in tune with each other.
So what? I'm let
they
that
had respect
on
for each other. They had love for each other.
Day. It was good enough. It's good enough for the people to brag about Kemet, but it ain't good enough for y'all to practice it. It's only good enough for y'all to utilize it when y'all trying to beat down another person's tradition, but it ain't good enough for you to follow it. But you use it to beat up on whoever, the Hebrews, the Moors. But when it's time for y'all to practice, oh, no, fuck that. We don't have to do that. But so what are y'all practicing then? What the fuck are y'all doing then? That's why I said again, when I said Henry Clark then was teaching it, exactly what were their tradition? What tradition did they follow?
There was no religion in Kemet. There was no religion. It was just a nature thing. You were practicing the laws of Ma'at, and you were obeying the laws of the land.
Come on, Dave.
You had to do.
Because I give up on justice. Because justice ain't going to never be straight, y'all. Come on, Dave.
You got that right.
You got that right.
Yeah,
he already said,
girl,
my suggestion, so we know that.
He ain't going to be straight for shit.
Look. Hey, look. Boy, he over there singing Human Nature. I would like to go in. I'm going to start off with Shabbat Shalom. I would like to say Shalom and peace and blessings. Child Deliberation Tabernacle Ministries of Yah. Like your shout outs to Lions Vibe Radio. Like your shout outs to Culture Freedom Nation. And I would like to give a big thanks to my fellow brother in ministry, which I love so much. We work great together. My brother, Morey Ariai Israel, man, you have held it down tonight. Shoot, that's the reason why, you know, we are Morey. These titles, we deserve them. Now, let me get, so I say shalom to you,
Shalom,
brother. Now, I'm going to get some out of this book. You know, I'm always going to read out of a book. So it says Genesis 10 and 6. So I'm going to Genesis 10 and 6. And six. Now my eyes are bad, y'all. So y'all hear me reading slow. Just know I'm here. My eyes are going bad. I say I'm going blind.
You know, day. That's it. We getting blessed. That's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like Methuselah soon. So, Genesis, the 10th chapter. 10th chapter is the first verse. Now these are the generations of sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. Now I'm going to skip down a couple of verses. I'll let you go to the 5th verse. It says, and by these were the house of Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue and after their family and their nations. Genesis, the 10th chapter, 6th verse, says, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Cain. Now, I don't have to go no further. I'm going to go to another. Now, that's pretty much going into Ham. Ham is the Africans, according to the Bible. Canaan would be the strangers that were in Africa. Some Hebrews say that was South Africans, but when I did my research, there are Gentiles those are pretty much like in Hebrew we'll call Goy, which means Gentile, and a lot of Gentiles that were in Africa are some of these white folks, you know, in South Africa. Now, Put is Libya and Algeria. Mizraim is Egypt. Now, Cush is the Ethiopians, and actually, Cush, a lot of brothers just say Ethiopia, but I'm going to sum all of it up. But all these nations of Ham, Cush was the oldest out of all those children. So Cush is what we would call, y'all would call the Nubians. Arias, but I say this, I ain't promoting the Nawabi, but the Kushites are who you would call the Sudanese, because Ethiopia and Egypt, Eritrea, Morocco, hell. All that was underneath, all those dynasties were ruled by what you would call the Nubians, I should say, which is Northern Sudan. So so I'm going to get out another scripture. So Genesis 9:18. Genesis 9:18 says, and the sons of Noah went forth of the ark with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. All right. Now, I'm going to get another scripture. This is for justice right here. Leviticus 19:34. Leviticus 19:34. I'll flip through the pages. I got one of them old ass AME church Bibles. You know, yeah. See, they don't understand Torah yet. A lot of these brothers don't understand Torah yet. So I got to read out the King James. So Leviticus 19:34. It says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Adonai Yah. And it says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in matter yard, in weight, or in measure. Now, the reason why I quoted all those scriptures. Now, let's go back to that verse, the 34th verse says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one among you, and thou one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers, remember that, strangers, in the land of Egypt. I'm the Adonai Yah. Now, when it says strangers, okay, now, what a lot of y'all don't see, and, you know, I can kind of get why, you know, I was listening to that debate, and the rest of it.
Just
but
so.
Brother Jabbard, right, now, you know, he was talking about all his, they were Brother Jesus, a black Jesus minister, was talking about his degrees and all that. And there was another brother that said he went to NYU. I forgot what the brother said that. But it just, then another brother say he graduated Howard University. And, you know, I noticed one thing. When those brothers were bragging about their degree, because there was, in the beginning where I kind of getting finished watching the rest,
yes,
they were bragging about a lot of their degrees and stuff. Now, let me ask you something. How come all these niggas that, and I call them niggas because they ain't real. Now, how come, and Justice, listen at this. Now, how come all these brothers were saying they went to colleges here in the state? Ain't none of them, they got, okay, in Egypt, they got the University of Al-Azhar, which is in Cairo. Now, let me ask you something. With all these Ashraf crazies bragging about HBCU education and shit, and how come they don't, ain't nobody say, well, I graduated from the University of Al-Azhar in Cairo. I have yet to hear brothers that say they told Kemet to say that. And see, one thing I also say, now, how come, and I'm going to ask this, how come when they say, okay, one brother said he got taught how to read the Matthew. Now, I forgot which brother said that, but he said his teacher, and have, I guess he said he had had a proper, like, education. He ain't been in school, but he studied. You know, I guess he was well studied, read a lot. He said he learned how to read the Medunetta from, I forgot what brother said that. But when I heard that, I was just like, okay, so y'all know how to read the Medunetta and all, supposedly. Now, if you go to Egypt today, everything is in Arabic. Everything is in Arabic. Ain't nobody speaking no goddamn Medunetta. Ain't nobody speaking. And how the hell do you speak Medunetta? You know what I'm saying?
They don't know.
It's a bunch of pictures on the damn wall.
It's language. It's language. I mean, you can write something on the wall, but it's the way you speak. It's really the African tongue. That's all that is. It's an African Bantu tongue. It's a Bantu language.
No Bantu at that time. Justice.
Sure it was.
Now, let me ask you this. Okay. So if I draw a picture of a girl's ass, right, of a lady's ass, right, now it can look like two big pears. It can look like a pear that I drew. Now, let's just say we have the so-called white man's English, okay, or his vocabulary. Now, how the hell would I describe that as an ass? What makes that an ass? You know, the pitch that I drew of somebody's ass. How the hell do you speak that? That is, see,
at any rate,
let me finish, Justice. And that's the reason why y'all are goddamn confused. Because even when you look at the brother when they ask Rock Quaid, he go up in the cave and like the home and soul of Ptah in the caves of Egypt. But for some reason, he's just showing you a bunch of pics and stuff. He's showing you a bunch of drawings. Now, let me ask you something with this. Let me pose this on y'all. Now, you always hear these brothers say pro-Egypt, pro-Africa, but when you look at a lot of these brothers, okay, like Brother Jabari. Now, okay, like I said earlier, everything in Egypt is pretty much Arabs running. There's an Arab president, all of them. Now, how come some of these brothers that's pro-Africa, pro-Egypt, how come they got walking around with Arabic names? Jabari is an Arabic name. You know what I'm saying? How come he ain't pick no damn, how come he don't change his name to like Osiris or something, you know?
Because the last invaders were Arabs. The Arabs had those names.
But okay, so this is what he should have done then. He should have got them Sufi spread, because I'm going to tell you something, what they do. Dudes get tired of Christianity, and then they can't come Muslim. But they think it's cool. And a lot of them, they want to fit in. Now, when they realize Islam is bullshit, then they, some of them go atheist, something like we see Garfield talking about. He ain't believing nothing, the Bible, but then his ass talking about some Jesus is real. I was through with that shit. He don't know what, they don't know what the fuck they want to be over there.
Yeah.
But listen.
Hey, Dave, and see, that's the trip. I'm going to let you go back, Dave. And see, the part about it, that's the trip. Notice how all them committee guys, and that's what they all arguing about. They all arguing about Jesus, and they all start with Christianity. You know, that's what they all starting with, Christianity, bro. Notice they ain't touching nothing on, like, Tanakh only. They all, basically, everything they talk about, even Sinetta, that's why Sinetta always keep them so-called messianic guys on his thing. Because they all, that's what they all focus, because that, it'll take you back to Kemet, bro. Because, again, even Wallace Budges, I used to have a one of the Purim Maharu by Wallace Budges, and he had in the goddamn thing on the cover, he said a lot of the writings in these translations that they're getting come from Christians, bro. He said majority of this shit come from Christians. So y'all think about it. When they keep telling you that the Haru story and the Jesus story is basically copied, who's telling you this? You got to really ask yourself, because like you're saying, a lot of these people, y'all can't read and translate Medu Meda. So them whole stories that's being written, because like you said, you might say, like you mentioned Ezra Quasi, bro. He might go on the wall and just show you one little thing, a glyph, and he might try to tell you what that read. How come he ain't reading the whole motherfucking wall like a whole paragraph? Read the whole motherfucking wall like a paragraph, and then you tell us like the whole story about what they're saying. And I'm going to hear it, Dave, because here's the thing again. You do have, because the University of Memphis over there be digging. They got some sites over there, and a lot of them are Christians. So, again, my thing is, who's telling you? Because even with Budges and all of them people back in the day, them white boys, what was their religion about? That's why I asked the people again, even with John Henry Clark, them, what did they actually practice? Because you will find that it's a lot of goddamn Christians who's writing these stories, translating these stories. That could be why the Jesus story and the Haru story sound alike, because it's coming from the same goddamn people. It's coming from the same people. I'm not saying that's the case, but you do have a lot of goddamn Christians that's translating this stuff and giving y'all these stories and trying to tell y'all. And that's why y'all running with the narrative. Well, see, the Christianity came out of Egypt, because who's telling y'all this?
Well, you know, when you see, you know, different things in the Bible, it's very, very...
Like I said, just all these motherfuckers had English names or fucking Hebrew names. Now, Dr. Ben, like I said before, if Dr. Ben was so busy being pro-African, pro-Egypt, how come he ain't changed his goddamn name?
So what day?
If Dr. Ben was so much of a pro-Egypt, how come his ass ain't changed his damn name?
I don't have a problem with Ben Joseph Ben Jockerman. Like, his name is as odd. It's odd
John
as it is.
Henry,
like,
John Henry never changed his damn name.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, like, anybody's name don't need to get changed.
John Henry Clark. All that shit about Greeks, but then his ass got the name John. John is a fucking Greek name.
But look, the whole thing about it is, let me just say this, because we on this track, and I just want y'all to understand is that language is ours. So you don't have to throw away your name. If your name is an English name, or you have an Irish last name, or you have a German name. Whatever name you have is more than likely throughout the times given to you through your own heritage and your own ancestral roots. All of these names, all of these languages were created by black people in these different lands. Every land that black people occupied, they created languages for themselves in those lands, in those territories.
You just violated the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You just violated the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because what did Honorable Elijah Muhammad say and Malcolm them said? What did they teach? Because you take up for Farah Muhammad them too. Now, what did they say? This is the slave master.
They did teach a different thing. But that's
your name
not
ain't John
that,
Jones.
You know
what your name
it,
is?
It's
they
like,
say you got to take out the slave master name, didn't you? Then they take you that justice.
Yes, they did.
And like I said again, another thing: how come they'll move their ass to Egypt? They so Egypt. How come they always over here teaching shit? How come they'll go back to Egypt? Well, they full of shit. That's why. How come they don't move easy?
Look, it's just as simple as your left foot and your right foot. It's not hard to practice my eye. It's like really waking up and living your life. That's all it is.
How come they not doing it,
Justin?
But just then, let me ask you this then. Why were y'all not teaching polite then? If it was all about my art, why the fuck y'all let polite, well, I ain't say y'all, but I'm saying the conscious community, let polite come back in the community, and y'all justified through the conscious community, I'm just saying y'all, in the conscious community, y'all justified this motherfucker and still stood behind him to keep on scamming, because because that was a violation of my art. I have not stolen. But
that's why he got jammed up.
And they stood behind him. But no,
But look what happened to him.
Hold on, wait a minute. But the conscious community should have shunned him and kicked his ass out and not allowed him. You know what? He shouldn't have never been allowed to even be around that little girl to do that to the little girl. But since the conscious community constantly bagged him and justified him doing all that shit, and that's why he was still on tours doing what he was doing, because what? The conscious community never shut him down. Y'all made excuses for him, and that's why he was still allowed to keep doing what the fuck he was doing. Y'all the ones, they weren't killing Mahat. Mahat would have shut his ass down.
For having three or four wives.
They got to stop using it as convenience when you want to use it to tear down somebody else. This is why you say you got to utilize it. It's supposed to be a practice, bro. This is supposed to be a practical thing in your life. Let me read one quick thing, bro. This is my book right here, right fast. This is from a book, they call it The Ancient Egyptian Hieroglyphic. This is from a black brother, the same brother I get a lot of my books. The Ancient Egyptian, and I sent some pictures out to show brothers what I'm reading from. The Ancient Egyptian Hieroglyphic for Beginners, the Meduneda, meaning the divine word. And this is one part I highlight. A lot ain't going to go too much in here. But we was talking about practitioners. That's why I keep on mentioning being a practitioner. It says, listening to the teaching and asking questions from spiritual masters is an intricate part of understanding the teaching. However, notice this, however, you cannot progress just by listening to or reading the teaching. You must also practice it in your life through righteous actions, meditation, and devotion to the divine. It says these practices, when correctly understood and executed, will open your mind to the vast reality which lies behind the exoteric. It says the inner direct meaning of the glyphs, and will lead you to the esoteric meaning. But the point is, again, as I stated earlier, you have to practice it in your life through righteous actions. Not just reading the shit. That's why you say they never understand this shit, brother, because these people are not practitioners. They're just reading the fucking books that somebody wrote. Because you just read what maybe Dr. Ben and them don't told you. But when are they going to actually have ceremonies? This is why, again, I keep mentioning, as Nuwabians,
I'm just saying it. I got to use it as an example because that's what I went through. I understood it more because we were practitioners of the craft. Because not
right,
just,
how
I just
didn't
read
right.
the books. I didn't understand this shit. Just read like you write.
Look.
You gotta
here's
be a practitioner.
Here's how it was, right? It was these wonderful people who had all of this innate knowledge, and it was to share amongst the people who would come and sit and listen to these wise men who was giving you back some jewels, right? And they did it all the time, and you just soaked it up. Because it came from different ones of them. Say there was 12 of them, and one spoke, then right after he spoke, the next one spoke. And then by the time it was all done, you go home and you just filled up with just all kinds of goodness from these 12 great men who was the most righteous of, you know, the time and was the most wisest and was able to give off this type of a message to the people. So I always felt like I was one of those people, even here in my city. I thought that I was one that this city should come to for this kind of wisdom on different things. But, you know, it's not like if I had my own my city and then, okay, around the city, we would have established other brothers, and we would all get together, and then all the people from each one of our towns would come, and we'd all meet in the center, and we had this fantastic gathering, and everybody would be assembled from different little, you know, little nations of people, little people, you know, different groups from all the different men. So once you do that, and it's a love, it's peace, the atmosphere is righteous, and everything is set, then this is how you can have a continuous on what it is that life is. It's to live for. It's to live for love. It's to live for peace. It's to live for harmony. It's to live for a family, you know, something that you can have, you know, a home. That's what your life is. It's to work. It's to make things happen. It's continue to do things, but not to do it in an unrighteous way. To steal it and to do it real fast and to get it without working for it and to do it, you know, in violation. You trick somebody and then now you got the possessions, or you do something that's foul and you get, you know, you get ahead. This is not Ma'at. This is not the right way. This is not the principles of Ma'at to do it that way. So when we do live in a righteous way and we have this kind of teachers who people who could listen and get the message out of them and don't look at the messenger for his life and, you know, want to pick apart the person. If the person has a great message, then you should consume the message, and as long as it's a good message. If someone's trying to mislead you or to teach you to do something that's wrong, then you should close your ears to them. So,
but brother, here's the problem. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of these guys, right, that we listen to. They're not like, okay, just for a matter of fact, I got to use these examples. You had Elijah Muhammad. He might have been a spiritual teacher, or he taught black nationalism, but he's also a spiritual teacher. Shit, I don't know. You got several people like that, just spiritual teachers. But a lot, and it's different. This is why I had said some one time before. And people took it out of context. And they didn't understand what the hell I was saying. They didn't know. Because people would get caught up in their personality worship so much, and they don't understand what you're saying because they get caught up in personality. I wasn't demeaning the people. I had made a statement one time. John Henry Clark, Dr. D and them were not black nationalists. Oh, bro, they goddamn it. Well, the people would disagree with me. Aren't they, are you? They were not black nationalists. What I mean, now you want to talk about Malcolm or somebody, they were dealing with black nationalists. And I made the statement that John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, them were just there was scholarship. They were not dealing with, they were not even what you call spiritual teachers. Notice even with that, they was dealing with the historical part of Kemet. They was not teaching you how to live the Kemetic way. They would just notice they didn't teach you how to live. Really, they didn't have classes. That's why I said they didn't have a comedic center teach you how to live this comedic way of life. There are some that does this. They weren't teaching you that. They're just teaching you about the so-called the history of it. They was not teaching you how to live it. And so, like I said, that's why most people who always quoting them and all of that, they have no idea of basically how to live this. Even the concepts, the principles behind what the comedic brothers and sisters were teaching in the comedic world. Because only thing, that's why I keep saying that a lot of the people only use the comedic thing to go after and tear down other people's shit. But, okay, how are you applying it in your life? Okay, I understand you might disagree with this other person thing and you're using the comedic, but how are you using it in your goddamn life? Because this is a walk. Like Dave and I, we follow Torah. We follow Tanakh. And we say this is a walk in life to help better our life. To better our life and to how to treat others and how to treat humanity right, and this is how we walk. It's just not no stuff we just claim to fame. This is something to better ourselves. We study this to better ourselves so we could be better in life as individuals, as humanity. You know what I'm saying? Brother Noble Gerard Lee said, we got to uplift humanity. So these teachings are supposed to do that, uplift. So but it's not just supposed to tear down. It's supposed to be an upliftment for everybody.
Exactly.
But here's something, right? Exactly. Here's supposed to be something. But again, brother, you have to be a practitioner. It's not, again, if you are not living this shit, brother, just reading it and you're not applying it, you're not trying to live it in your life. It's a lot of stuff you won't truly, you're not understanding it if you're not applying it in your goddamn life. You become the, like they said, like they were saying, like Jesus became, now they teach that, Jesus became the living word of God. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad became a living holy Quran. That's why I used to teach, man, you would have become the living embodiment of these teachings. So, an elder told me before, I don't have to go around telling nobody what I am. If there's a Christian and if I'm saying I'm a Christian, I follow the truth, the way of tradition, I ain't got to tell nobody. Another Christian damn near off top can see, oh, hey, you John 1:5, you such and such, this and that. I could tell you a spiritual person, how you carry yourself, how you treat others. This is what I'm saying. You have to be, you got to practice it. This shit's supposed to be over. That's why everybody say, this is not a religion for me. This is a way of life. Even in the comedic, this is a way of life. Those brothers and sisters, you see all that stuff on the glyphs, on the walls and shit. Brother, that was a way of life for them. They believe in those gods, the nectars and all of that. They believed in that. That was a way of life for them. That's why they built their whole civilization the way they did, because they was trying to appease the God. There was a way of life for them. See, now today we just look at it.
That's the mythology.
Glorious.
That's the mythology.
Okay, you could call it what you want to, brother. But this is why, again, they thrive the way they do, because this is how they believe. And they believe enabled them to do with the greatness that they did. See, we look at it today, it's just some goddamn diamonds, some bling bling, just to brag about it. Oh, look what our ancestors did. They didn't have it for fucking bragging rights, brother. That was just their way of life. We look at it today, oh, they built the pyramids. That was their way of life, brother. They wasn't building this shit to stunt on the next goddamn culture, just to stunt on the Greeks, to stunt on the Romans, like we say, stunt like Birdman. This was their way of life. Until we start looking at this better way of life, the same our situations that we're living in as people, brother, I never change.
Right.
I don't live this. I don't go around telling nobody I'm a Hebrew or Israelite, brother, to be stunting on nobody, to be flashy on nobody. That don't mean shit. That don't mean a goddamn thing. I try to live it in pediment of what it's supposed to be an Israelite. I give a damn about being bragging, because that ain't helping nobody, man.
The only God in Kemet was you know, let's say if you black right now and you can have understanding of one, the oneness of the creator, the oneness of what people who call God, God, right? And we would say, okay, Amen Ra. One group of individuals called the creator Ra, and the other group called him Amen. And together, once they came together and became one group, then they just decided to call the same name that they agreed was the one creator, Amen Ra. You see what I'm saying? So there was no worshiping of gods and all this. This is the mythology story. This is what they want you to believe, that they worship gods. They worship one god called Amen Ra.
No, they did. And different gnomes, they called gnomes of cities, there was different gods that they worshiped. And I'm going to read them in a minute. I can read you the different gnomes. They had different theological things. And I'll read some in a minute. All of them in Kemet. See, this is what we see again. We understand we bundled everything up into one goddamn thing. That's why I said a lot of people, we don't, you're not really studious as we think. We just throw in every goddamn thing. We have to be really studious of this shit, bro. You got to be real studious.
After the Bible was fashioned in 325 AD, then the creator ended up with the same power as the enemy of the creator. They had the equal power, the equal everything. So when you read
Kemet
the Bible,
believe in the creator
Satan
God
has
too,
the
bro.
Same power that
Kemet
the God
believe,
has.
According to them people, they believe, all African people believe in the creator. You see, this is just westernized bullshit we do today. We act like, that's why I said, that's why I keep telling y'all, please show me, please somebody, please, I've been asking this shit for damn near 2 years or more. Please show me anywhere in historical, goddamn it, time or whatever, even fucking now maybe, show me what Africans, goddammit, on the planet of, or the continent of Africa where we had indigenous people over there was fucking atheists. But they didn't believe in no goddamn so-called goddammit creator being. I don't give a fuck if they had millions of them, but they had one that they believed as a creator. Show me what a fucking black African, if we call an African, didn't believe in a supreme being. You'd be, please somebody, I ain't... Y'all could email
I'm
me.
I'm saying they did.
I'm just saying, somebody please email, because I've been asking this shit for 2 years, please email me at culturefreedom.org at gmail.com. Because goddammit, we keep acting like since we westernized Americans, now we want to act like we never believe in a supreme being. I don't give a fuck what you called it. I don't give a fuck who you, what you call it. Africans believe, every dog melanated person, goddammit, on them, they believe in some kind of supreme being. They did. Yeah. We weren't no fuck. We didn't call it. We weren't no goddamn atheists like we doing now, like atheists of Atlanta, like Unk and all that bullshit. We didn't believe in it. Africans never done that shit until today, into our time. Now we're into occultism and all this other silly-ass shit. Now we don't believe.
That's
we never did that shit, man. How the fuck they say it? I remember brothers, I'm finna shut up. I remember brothers saying that we gave, how the fuck did we say we gave the religion, I mean, we gave the world religion. But now all of a sudden, brothers, oh, we don't fuck with religion. But we told, but we said we gave the world this. We taught the world about the creator. But now all of a sudden, I don't fuck with that. I don't, we ain't no God. We didn't have no God. We didn't believe in that concept. But please show me. Somebody please send it to me. I'm waiting, and I shut my goddamn mouth because I've been waiting. I've been asking. I've been researching. I've been trying to find it through indigenous religion, through ancestral worship, whatever the fuck it was. I cannot find it. Unless the white man hiding the shit out of it, because I know y'all going to say he is. The white man, see, the white man can't. He ain't going to let you find it. Well, how come the Africans? The Africans must be lying too then. The Africans must be lying.
And
one
know,
thing, right? Go ahead, Dave.
And you know
get that
what?
Ready.
I'm gonna say something to Justice.
I got it.
Them motherfuckers that you look up to, Justice. You know what? John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben and all of them really got that shit from.
Where
they
Dave?
Got that shit. They got that shit out the Masonic Lodge.
No, oh, wait a minute. Hold up, Dave. What you say, Dave?
They got that shit out the Masonic Lodge, man.
Well, then, you know,
I'm sorry, I had
to do it. And you know what? Because let me tell you why. I've been studying masonry for the last, I see, 2 years now. I've been studying it, you know, and one thing I've, you know, when I study, I actually study, like, and, you know, one time, you know, black folks, especially the free black people, you know, when we look at people like Prince Hall, right, take this Prince Hall Mason. Now, when Prince Hall started Prince Hall, right, he started it and he called it the African Lodge. Now, it was all like a couple of him and some brothers. Now, when he started that, right, the intent for him starting it, okay, he wanted to be, have like a, he wanted what the white man had. Like, you see a lot of these white people and shit that are Masons and Toronto, a lot of them got that shit out of Egypt. Like, y'all didn't have that shit. Black people forgot all about that shit. Now, listen, what happened was with that, the reason why they have Prince Hall is a lot of the John G. Jones Lodge and all that is because of niggas up north, because, you know, down south, we was in the slave, we was in the fields during slavery. But up north, a lot of the, you know, people up north, you know, especially after slavery, before slavery, I should say, most of those black people was free, right? And the reason why a lot of them was free because they were slave masturbators. Like, if you was a slave, like, if you was a born to and had what you call fair skin, light skin, then you was you ain't have served slavery like the rest of the dark-skinned people had. So what happened was, is when you're looking at these Greek organizations, a.k.a. Deltas, well, a lot of these people made these black people were light-skinned, fair-skinned, and when they moved up north, a lot of them, because, you know, a lot of light-skinned people, at the time, a lot of them, you know, they always had this thing that they were better than the field nigga, because field nigga was dark-skinned people, and the damn house nigga, Negro, was a light-skinned people. So by them being so, you know, I'm better than them. I'm here with master. They start to want to take on the characteristics and role of what white folks had. And so when you look at Prince Hall, who was from Barbados, a lot of, when he came over here, because he fought in the war, I forgot what war he fought in, but him and those other brothers that started with him, they were, they couldn't get, they wanted to be like white people, but white people weren't allowing them to join their shit. So what happened was, supposedly, they, you know, they was called, white people ain't accept them, you know, for being Mason like they wanted. So what they did was, they went all the way to England to get a goddamn charter or dispensation, okay, to be able to run, you know, play cards. When you say charters and dispensations, well, a lot of brothers don't realize a lot of black and Sister Prince Hall, John D. Jones, what you do is, well, you know, we official. They'll have that shit, they'll say they're official. But when you're looking at what the fuck official really was, being official means you had the okay from white mama and white dad. Because that's what a lot of, you know, light-skinned people up north were. It was yes, motherfucker. Okay, so when you're looking at history behind HBCU, the same shit. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. When you're looking at even the AKs, Greeks, Deltas, Omegas, look at the early pictures of these organizations. These were light-skinned people. So when you're looking at a lot of the knowledge that you all got, and a lot of knowledge that they got it from white folks. And when you look at John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben, all of them was amazing. All of them. There's a picture of Dr. Ben with the pairs on for the shrine, saying, you know, with his hand on the Bible. Matter of fact, you can find it yourself. Now,
I just saw it earlier, Dave. For a matter of fact, just saw it earlier.
And when Dr. Ben, you know, him, Elijah Muhammad, he was amazing to it. Now, when you're looking at even with Elijah Muhammad, you know, he came in black. He said, you know, well, I'm trying to wake the so-called Negro up. Okay, da-da-da-da. But when you're looking at Elijah Muhammad, he always tried to, even though he was light-skinned, he always said, well, I earned a third-grade education. Now, black people back then, they thought, okay, well, you know, this young light-skinned brother that's preaching, he's trying to teach us. Now, listen, Elijah Muhammad, what he really fucking meant was he was a third-degree master mason. So,
Dave, don't you say that, Dave. Don't you tell him that, Dave.
Yeah.
I know
you fucking with today. Look.
Yeah, I'm the hype man. I'm Flavor Flav.
Yeah, boy. You know, Flavor Flav said that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when you look at that, like I said, ask the bar Mahan. But the person who's the highest in the lodge is the worshipful master. You know? Yeah, he said that bar, you know, taught him the Bible. Now, let's think this. Bar Mahan, okay, I tell a lot of y'all, be careful at this shit. Now, Bob Muhammad, for real, like you were saying earlier, he only considered himself a prophet in the lesson. Now, Elijah Muhammad, when you're looking at how he put it together, they first come in, you know, even when you're going through your process class with FOI, when you deal with that, they teach you what you call the supreme wisdom, like you were saying earlier. A lot of those lessons, okay, when brothers go up to get their degree, they have to do what? Death, like you said earlier, they got to recite, right? Now, what they learn. You go, Nation of Islam training, and I personally was in there for a while. I joined after I got tired of Sunni Islam, you know. I was not a Farrakhan, though. When you go through your processing class that you know, write your savings letter, okay, you have to, in order to get your X, you have to recite. And I'm going to tell you something. the way they recite it, if you go get a Duncan Ritual or a, what you call a More Light, now, that's mainly the same fucking thing as the Supreme Wisdom. And
come on, Brad.
Even when you look at the Supreme Wisdom, there was a, I don't know if you've seen it or not, there was a, I'm gonna get this out too. Matter of fact, I got the lesson on my phone.
They say you're telling too much, Dave. You're telling too much. Mom's the word, Dave. Mom's the word. No, I'm messing with you. You're revealing. You're revealing too much.
Oh, yeah. Look, guess what? I'm going to reveal this shit tonight, too. So when you look at
the
Supreme, look at the Supreme Wisdom. I don't know. It says, why did Muhammad make the devil study 30 to, what is that? I think he said 30 to 35 years? Let me get that answer, because I know I got it. So, I'm going to get this out, because I got it right here. Okay. I got it right. Let me get that page out, because, man, it's been a long time since I opened this shit up. But there's a part where he was going into it, right? And he said, why did Muhammad make the devil study 30 to 35 years? And let me get the answer. I know it's okay. I think she drinking laws of Islam. U.S. Okay. So right here. Why does Muhammad make the devil study from 35 to 50 years before he can call himself a Muslim son? Now, keep in mind, Muslim son. That's what, when you're looking at white Masons that make it to the shrine, they call themselves Muslim. A Muslim, okay, is pretty much a Muslim is pretty much Muslims, or as you call it, Europeans that got into the shrine. Because that's the only people that call themselves that. It says, and wear the greatest and only flag of the universe. And he must add a sword on the upper part of the holy and greatest universe flag of Islam. So when you looking at this right here, he said, why does, and he must add a sword on the upper part of the holy and greatest universal flag of Islam, right there. So the sword, okay, the emblem which you see on the ground, that's where white folks got that from. They got it right from being slaves to the Moors. Because really, the Moors is the ones that sold black folks out. Okay? The Moors sold black people first. Okay? Right on the white folks. So that's why we're looking at the presidents. George Washington was amazing. All the presidents were amazing. So, but what I was going to say, that's where they learned all this root knowledge from. And Elijah Muhammad said it in here. They stayed 30 to 50 years. So when you're looking at Elijah Muhammad, he always said he was amazing. You look at Richard Allen for the AME Church, him and Absalom Jones, both Masons. Now, so when they learned this knowledge, they all got it out of the law. And white folks taught them this shit. Prince Hall wouldn't have had this knowledge without white folks. So
Damn. That's
why I'm gonna say that today John Henry Clark was amazing. Dr. Ben, all of these lies, Muhammad, So as I've been, you know, been studying this, like I said, I look at it and I say, well, niggas want to become they black folks back in the day, these white skinned people up north, they wanted to be accepted so bad. You know, and even when you look at it, it says free and accepted nation. Now, why the hell, you know, you got to emphasize that white folks don't call themselves free and accepted? White Masons say they ain't free and accepted. You know what I'm saying? Mm. They say that they should go back to the ancient days. How come a nigga say he's free and accepted?
That's it.
So in other words, niggas aren't free. And even when you people do have, you know, even when, you know, black folks do decide to get their own organization, who funds the black organization? Ask that too. Because a lot of that shit, a lot of the money come right from them down, from them people up in England. All of them. Y'all up, and that's why I say, just you know, stop quoting all that shit, man. Now, something I'm gonna get into.
Hey, Dave, now, one second, God. Dave. We got 8 minutes left live in the show before we go into overtime. Y'all want to call in, go into overtime. We got 8 minutes. You can call in at area code 563-999-3081. You call in. Got 8 minutes before the overtime show. We got an hour going over. So there's 563-999-3081. That's overtime. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. So just stop reading that shit, man. Dr. Chancellor Williams, he even said, talked about the destruction of black civilization, how, you know, we built the pyramid. He put all that in there. The only thing I can say is none of these organizations would be shit without the Torah. None of them. So,
go ahead, bro. I was going to say, when you mentioned that, because you went right in what I want to throw in, though. Because it's funny, bro, how all of them seem to, because you mentioned all these brothers was in the lodge, even Dr. York, right? But Dr. York, you know, he still taught a lot of this stuff anyway. But all of them you mentioned that was in the lodge, and, like, you know, even Unk, y'all, I'm going to say his goddamn name. Even Unk them talk all about this, you know, the Bible this, the Bible that. But, brother, when they're in the lodge, brother, they got to open the goddamn lodge. They can open with different books, but they open with the goddamn Bible, bro. I ain't mean to say it like that. They open it and they do rituals based off the Bible, man. Their whole thing is King Solomon. They rituals, legends,
yeah.
King Solomon. Yeah, and all of these things, a lot of it is predicated. They wouldn't have done, brother, if it wasn't based off the Bible. The whole, what is it, the legend of King Solomon. But I thought all of it was fake. I thought it was so fake. And I'm going to just throw out something right fast. What is the Bible? I'm just going to throw it out. What is the Bible verse of a Master Mason? What's the Bible verse of a Master Mason? Y'all go read. I'm just giving y'all something. That's the thing. That's the question. What is the Bible verse of a Master Mason? Go read in the Bible Ephesians 12. That's all I'm going to say. Go read the 12. But that's the question. That's the question. But it's just awfully funny, brother, all of them you saying. And I'll tell y'all, when we're going in and trying to tell y'all, man, and trying to open y'all eyes to something, none of y'all we've been distracted, bombarded, and keeping us in one for some reason. Even Dr. York said it, and he taught chemists much. He said the reason they teach a lot of chemist stuff because the white man is more interested in chemists. And that was awfully strange. That was funny. He said, because they awfully they are so into this Kemetology, Kemet mania. And a lot of these students, they keep y'all locked because y'all, let me tell y'all something though. Y'all know, and really what we bring up because of this, because even when you read the Bible, going to the Bible in the book of, what do you call it? We call it Bereshit in Hebrew, which y'all call Genesis. It mentioning like those rivers and stuff, you know, it really went to biblical names though, but or ancient names that those people would call it, but we just give it the name. They talk about the Tigris, Euphrates. They talk about what's the name? I should have had my Bible in front of Peon, which y'all call now the White Nile, the Nile Valley. Those was not actually the actual names. Y'all do know that, right? But anyway, so that whole area, what we might call the Garden of Eden, reached from all the way, all the Nile Valley area, all the way up to Mesopotamia, all that Iraq, all of that was in there. All of that would have been called what we call the Garden of Eden. All of that. And who was it? And it was what we call black or melanated people. See, that's the best kept, secret. This is why they keep you locked in the and basically they didn't want to keep y'all in Africa. They didn't want to tell y'all, you know, we always say, and the scholars say, they always try to make believe Egypt is not in Africa. But it's so goddamn hard to say that when you see that on the globe, on the map. But the one part, they can easily say, well, shit, well, we can just tell them, well, we don't want to let them know that Samaria, Mesopotamia, Nimrod, and Sargon, all of these was actual melanated people. We don't want them to know that. Fuck it. We don't keep them locked in Africa because we just can't really hide that much. So, because damn, they can see the map. So this is why a lot of the scholars, and notice that as Dave was saying earlier, they taught in these colleges and universities. So it's a lot of stuff they were handicapped far as presenting you some information. They were basically handicapped, and, you know, we do know, y'all do know some of these secret societies, right? You do have to be sworn on oath, and certain things you have to keep the what they call the profane, the uninitiated, from knowing. You can't tell them motherfuckers that they ain't initiated. You can't tell us if we not initiated. We got to be on the outside looking in, speculating. We just give them something to run with. You can't initiate it. Pastors do it every goddamn Sunday. Pastors do it every Sunday. They stand up there as masons. I'm talking about those who initiated in the crowd. They stand up there and can be preaching a sermon. If you initiate it, you hearing one thing, and to the profane, I mean the uninitiated, they hearing another. He dropping some jewels that the profane don't know what the hell. They just hearing, yeah, go ahead, pastor. But he dropping some jewels, some uninitiated jewels that you don't know what the fuck he really saying. See, just like they even talk about a president. They talk about how presidents have a thing they call double speak. You hear one thing, but those who in Congress and everything else hear something totally different. We the public, we hear one thing in our era, but to those who, these other politicians and whatnot, they hear something totally different. The State of the Union address, you can watch with Joe Biden and them, we hearing one goddamn thing in our era, but those who know, they hear something totally damn different.
Hey,
so even with our so-called, go ahead, brother.
And you know what? I'm glad you're saying that.
Yes, sir.
When you looking at, okay, during slavery, when they was lynching black people. Now, when they go in the lodge, they got had a rope around their neck. And also, I'm glad you said double talk. When Colin Kaepernick and the rest of them brothers was kneeling down on their knees, that's a Masonic pose.
Oh, no, it wasn't, Dave. What was that? What's that, Dave?
When all that kneeling down, you ain't saying pledge allegiance, you got to kneel on your naked left feet. That's, go read the Duncan Richard.
It ain't no fool, Dave.
I study this shit.
day. You can't be saying that on the radio day. You can't be saying that, brother. You tell it too much, man.
I'm messing
with you, Dave. You know, I don't give a shit. You know how we do, Coach and Freedom. We brought uncut.
This show,
we're trying to break the spell, brother.
Show, look, and they were kneeling on George Floyd now.
Yes, sir.
The officer had his arm on his knee while he was kneeling on his head. And they all had their same to Cola Company kneeling down.
And funny you said that when they were kneeling on George Floyd's neck and they had everybody participate in that ritual. You know, all that whole marching and thing, you were participating in the ritual, burning up. That whole thing was nothing but a ritual. But we, y'all didn't hear that from Coach of Freedom Radio. We didn't say that. But go ahead.
In the Bible, they give Satan the equal authority as God. So God in the Bible is no greater than Satan. So if they're doing these rituals and following unrighteousness and being secret masons practicing unrighteousness, then they are under the satanic order of doing things. So, you know, you got to understand and just be aware, like when they put this thing together called Bible, they did it in their interest of those who are unmelanated at the time or demelanated or unmelanated, that they would erase what is right or what is true or just hide it in plain sight. Like, it's a time when I did a little thing in the Bible where I looked at two different Bibles and checked out two different verses at the same time. And one would describe Jesus as having hair like lamb's wool, and his feet was like brass burned in the oven, and his eyes were like fire. But then the other Bible right next to it said his hair and his head was white like lamb's wool. Now, the other Bible didn't say nothing about it being white, but this other Bible in this verse said his hair and his head was white, which is to give you a notion that, well, he had to have been white if you're talking about a particular individual and describing the individual and say that his hair and his head was white, which you would make you automatically believe it's a white person. But if you're saying someone hair was like lamb's wool, you're not going to think, and they don't put a color in front of it. So it says, his hair was like lamb's wool. His feet was like brass burned in an oven. His eyes were like the flames of fire. Something like that, right? And so if I get a description, his hair was like lamb's wool, there's only one people on the planet whose hair is truly like lamb's wool, and that is Afrocentric people. That's people who have the type of texture hair that is undistinguishable. I mean, it's most similar to lamb's wool. The texture of it, the way it grows and looks, it looks and feels like lamb's wool. White people's hair don't feel like lamb's wool. So if I was to take the description like that. So that's just one example. There's other examples in the Bible where you can find where the translation of it seems to be in favor of white people or the way white people would want to look at it versus how it should be in reality. And even certain words, even if it's a language, if I look at a word and I see it in the Bible and it says something of hallelujah, and it's, you know, it is saying something about hallelujah, and it may say it again, maybe several times, but then you will find that word without the A, without the H in front of it. So I'm thinking that there's a mistake being made. I'm looking at the same word, hallelujah, without the H. So I'm like, okay, here in this Bible, maybe someone made a mistake. But then later on, I read again. They said hallelujah again, but then it went hallelujah again. So I said, well, man, let me put this together. I said, let me go ask this brother down here who knows Arabic. Let me ask him just this simple question.
Arabic or Hebrew?
He was from somewhere where they spoke Arabic. So I asked him. I said, "What is this word, brother?" Because we was talking about different things, and he was a Muslim, and he showed me a Quran, and he showed me an English Quran and stuff. So we kind of kicked it back and forth. But when I came across this, I wanted to go to the brother and ask him if he can tell me what this word would mean in Arabic. And so I presented the word to him without the H in front of it. And I said, "What is Alleluia?" And he simply said to me, "That means praise the God." And it made complete sense to me, being raised in the church, that word would mean that, because growing up in church, when the saints in the church would say hallelujah, they would say that is the highest praise that you can give to God. So when the Muslim fella said that means praise to God, it was the exact same thing to me. So I was like, well, you know, I still wasn't sure. I was like, well, why wouldn't it have the H in front of it and just say hallelujah? But it just still meant the same thing even without the H. I'm glad you mentioned that,
but the thing about it, but you asked a Muslim. Well, glad he did tell you that, but obviously you asked a Muslim, like I said, who speak Arabic. About a Hebrew term, who speak Arabic about a Hebrew terminology, which that was, but I'm still glad he was able to give
he
it
knew,
to you.
He knew what it meant in Arabic. He knew what that meant, though, when I said hallelujah instead of hallelujah. He kind of knew.
But I'm saying you asked an Arab about a Hebrew terminology. But I'm saying I'm still glad he gave it to you. That you see what I'm saying? That's Hebrew. Hallelujah. Hebrew. But you went and asked an Arab who speak Arabic, but he Arabic. Like that. At least he knew.
On my further analysis of that, Sunray, on my further analysis of that, I said, well, why wouldn't they have put the H here in front of this word like this? And I thought about it, and I looked at it, and the way it read Alleluia. And I'm like, if the Muslim fella says praise to God, then if I'm saying to him Alleluia, then Allah is in that word hallelujah. So somehow these words connect to the Creator, even they keep translating, and you get the word back again in a different language. So hallelujah is Alleluia, and he knew Allah and Luya must be an Arabic term that means praise to God somehow.
So okay, let me get it to you like this. See, this is why it's so important. Like I said, know the language. Now, we have something that most people don't really speak. It's called, Lashawan Kadash, or they call the Teleo Hebrew.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Now, I'm going to say a word. It's going to sound just alike. If I said the word, when we say the word Alahayim, they hear the word Alahayim, which most in English they're going to say Elohim, but we say Alahayim. You hear the word Allah in there. That's Peleo. And this is where the Peleo Hebrew is where actually they say most of your Hebrew stem from. So notice you hear the word Allah in there. So because the Hebrew, as they say, come up out of, because you remember now Ishmael was a cousin of Jacob and all. They was kinfolk. So that language stems. So again, back. That's why Christians they be saying hallelujah all the time, but they be hollering
but
Jesus.
You know
they equate that to Jesus, but you actually saying the Most High's name. In short, notice we said Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. So when you saying praise Yah, that's what you get. That's why they say it's the highest praise, because it is. It's,
right.
But
here,
it's short
here,
for the
here.
Most High's name. Or title.
Y'all just open up. A big yellow light just came on, in my head when we're talking about this now. So here's what I found, is that this is going to take us back to those who spoke Latin or Spanish, and this is going to give us Allah again, Allah, Allah with the other Allah thing, you whatever you're saying, this is all coming from the Moors part of town.
Allah.
And this
Allah
is what they spoke. They spoke Spanish, and this is a Spanish term too, out of the Moor set. The Latin.
Well, what did it originate? Well, now we got to go back to the origin of language. You got to go back to the origin of language. That would have been later for them. All that Spanish, Latin, that's late. That's late. We go back to the Semitic or Aramic, Aramic languages and all of these things. You got to go back.
Yeah. But that Latin and that
late.
Arabic is close. That Latin and Arabic is more stuff. That's both more
What did I just say that Arabic came from? The Arabic or the Arabia came from? It stemmed out of what we call that Hebrew or the Aramaic or the Paleo Hebrew.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
We all Moors and Jews. Bottom line.
Y'all been saying, but we you talk about Latin, all of that is that shit is real late. Because like notice what the Muslims or the Moors, whatever. Now we know
Moors created
most of
Arabic
Hebrew.
And
I mean,
Spanish.
Adam.
The Moors created Arabic and Spanish. That's how bad they was.
But where did the language come from? Again, I just gave you where
from,
the language comes
from. Hebrew, from the Hebrew.
The Arabic, that. So it came up out of that. Now, that's why I said the languages, when you go back to those ancient languages, not this shit they're following now, I'm talking about some modern Hebrew, Yahweh, you know, with all that stuff they get now, Elohim, that was mostly Canaanite. But it's deep. You got to get into the language, man. You got to go deep into the language. But I want to go back to something you were saying about the one part about right fast in Revelation. Now, even with this, you know, I'm really not a Hebrew or New Testament, so-called New Testament teacher too much, but I will go into it. But even when you were talking about that Jesus with white head and people, because it was a pastor, he was saying, see, Jesus, see, he wasn't black, because I heard some brothers argue with him. Now, I'm not trying to describe him and say he was black, white. That ain't my field. That ain't what the hell I'm over here to do. I'm to knock on it. But still again, even with that part, that's why most of them, we be telling y'all a lot of them King James. Oh, man, the translations of sometime in the King James are horrible. They are horrible. God damn. I mean, God dog, we got to get people out them goddamn King James, man. Especially
what's you use, the Gideon?
I'm just going to say it to knock only anyway. I'm just going to say it to knock only, man. Y'all got to get the hell out of it. You know, y'all New Testament, y'all we do whatever. But them King James, man, they have a lot of bad mistranslation.
Yeah,
but you know,
is.
You had these Messianic Hebrews telling y'all, that's the best one. See, and this is why, and I'm going to tell you right fast, before I give you the breakdown on this one right fast. See, most these people today, their doctrine is they have a certain Bible. Like, these New Testament teachers out there, whether they're Hebrews or not, their doctrine is predicated upon that King James, how things are worded. Because if you read another version, it'll take away from their false doctrine, because they've got it predicated upon how certain things are worded. Their doctrine is predicated. That's why they don't want you to read none of the other versions. That's why they tell you the King James 16. No, they be telling y'all the 1611 is the Bible to get, but they not reading out of the goddamn 1611. Because that mother would be saying Aisus instead of Jesus or Yahweh Shai. They don't read out of the goddamn 1611. But anyway. But that's why they tell you the New Translate, the New English, all these Revived Version, they trying to hide the truth. No, a lot of it is because the King James, they talked about that damn Protestant Bible, that the 1611 or whatever they had, it came out of that. There was a lot of mistranslated words when they did that. So a lot of the stuff today, more scholars who's going back into really learning Hebrew, they are correcting a lot of those mistakes. Even the new King James Version are changing a lot of the words or correcting a lot of the translations from the old King James, because more people are learning now. They're learning the language. And at that time, you know, he had other people probably didn't know the damn language. Because the Mexicanists would tell you King James was an Israelite, which is a damn lie. King James was a Protestant. He was not a goddamn Israelite. That's a goddamn lie. But that's another story. So you have bad translations. And I'm going to give you, I'm saying all this to go back to that right there, that white, the head white, because it was a pastor I was listening to, he had that argument. He wasn't no black man because they said his head. See, this is the confusion part. I have different translation, but it's easy to see. I have I'm using the New Living Translation. I'm gonna read you the footnote from this. Now, these are Christians who wrote this now, who translate this, but here you go. Now, going back what you were talking about, Revelations chapter 1, verse 14, it says his – now, this is the New Living Translation. It's supposed to be spoken in like modern English like we speak today. It says his head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow. And I just stopped right there. Now, here's what the footnote says on this. Now, this is ironic. Here's the footnote says. Now, it says his head. And his hair was white. So most people think, see, his head, see, he was white because it said his head. But check this out, and his hair. But here's what this even the footnote said. Here Jesus appeared as a mighty Son of Man. His white hair indicated his wisdom and divine thing. But that's not the one.
Why would you be 31 or 2 years old with gray hair or white ass hair? Like, why is that happening? And then why is it gonna be white as snow when ain't no snow in Israel nowhere?
But this is modern figurative teaching. But the point where it's talking about his head and his hair, when it says his head, is talking about the hair on his head that was white as snow.
Yeah. I'm 30-year-old man
talking
with
white
snow.
Ain't no way in the hell, because you come on, it don't make no sense. His head and his hair was white like wool, white as snow. And talk about then it go down to his feet was like polished brass. Come on, bro.
Right.
Now, well, how in the hell you going to have a white, how you going to have a white man, how you going to have a white head with brown feet?
That's right. That's right.
That don't make no sense. So that actually is telling you that it says his head and his hair was white as snow. It's talking about the hair on his head. And they show you a description that his beard, he had a beard.
The other Bible didn't include no color of his hair. The other Bible said his hair was like lamb's wool. It didn't say no color. Didn't say nothing was like no snow. It just went on to finish describing his feet and his eyes.
What Bible you have? I see a lot of Bibles that does describe his.
Okay, but I don't know which one. It was years ago, but I think it was the Gideon Bible.
I don't know, because I'm reading the King James, and I got to pull out the King James.
Yeah, the King James was the one with the
white snow.
Try the Gideon one out. Mm-hmm.
I don't have a Gideon, but yeah, you know, them have is his hair. They just describing it. I mean, I've seen people, man, real young. I mean, young and with gray hair.
No, not 30 years.
I've seen that. I've seen that before.
All
yeah,
right,
it would happen.
Yeah, he might have a little bit of gray in his hair,
people might say that you had gray hair. People say you got gray hair because it's word in hell. Some people say, notice that Bible says his gray hair was his wisdom.
He had no gray hair, 33 years old. Not no black man that's 33 with no full white gray hair. No, I ain't never seen one of them.
Okay, well, I ain't going to argue with that, but that's what it said. It was just, see, the point about it, brother, notice what it was saying when it spoke about the white hair. It was a representation of wisdom.
Barack Obama got white hair when he turned about 50
saying,
years
wisdom.
Old. You know,
and
Barack Obama
have,
got his.
Notice the Bible. But the Bible is made up of a lot of, like, even with those, like, especially when you're dealing with those apocalyptic scriptures. Oh, boy, I ain't going to say a scripture. Apocalyptic verses, just like Daniel's and Revelation. those apocalyptic verses or whatnot, right? And they're in symbolic languages. So you have to really look at the symbology of it and don't take it literal. So even when it says about the white hair and this and that, it's a lot of deep symbology in it. And so this is a lot of shit that the Masons go in, and this is why they go in and talk about symbolism.
That's called the whitewash, somewhere. That's called the whitewash.
It's not whitewashing, Doc. I'm telling you, it's about symbolism. No, I'm just saying, that's why a Mason, he goes in, and they're really taught symbolism, and they call it symbology. See, it might be, a stop sign. You see that sign, and you just, all you see is stop. Me, I'm about to be initiated into a crowd. I see more than stop on that sign. I see a whole bunch of symbolic meaning to that sign. You just see stop. That's all you see. So it's just like even with a lot of the things in the Bible, that's all you see, just what is written. But if you're a student of this thing, you see a hell of a lot. That's just the problem with the conscious community. They see the Bible and all they see is down. Well, see, how come God did this? How come God did? See, they don't see the allegory. They don't see the real meaning behind a lot of the stuff. They read it. They see the story, but they don't understand the deeper meaning to the story. And this is why they have fucking argument. The Bible, man, do see, how come God did this? Because they don't, they are not, that's why I say I have to go back again. They're not practitioners. So they don't understand it. They're not working the Bible. What I mean by working it, they're not living it. I'm trying to pull it up and trying to see. Yeah, they're not living it, man.
I sent you something from my master teacher about what we're talking about tonight. So it's not that long of a thing. You can check it out later on.
I need to send it today because I see the Baphomet on it. I need to send it today.
Yeah.
I got clicked on. I see the Baphomet.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, damn.
He breaking it all down, man. Y'all go throw your Bible in the trash when he finished.
Never.
All right.
Never.
All right.
And
watch this. After you watch this, all right, then don't watch this because it's going to make you throw it away.
I'm going to watch it.
Don't watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
Beware.
Bro, right, that's it.
I warned you.
Won't you Christian last weekend? Nigga, won't you Christian last week, Justin?
Say you're a Christian last weekday.
Come on,
yeah,
y'all.
Look,
Wait a minute.
Him and Garfield got the same damn teaching. Garfield shot up the Bible in there. Not shot the Bible, but condemned the damn Bible. Now he's talking about Jesus is real.
Damn.
Well, look, if he was real, his name was Heru, and it was 4,000 years ago that he lived. And the story in the Bible looks exactly like the story of the one of them called Jesus, where he had an immaculate conception story written about his life, even though that wasn't necessarily the case. But, you know, like earlier you were saying how people like to romanticize these stories and make them bigger than what they were and make them into something that's legendary for, think and live forever, you know, because it was a great thing what he did at that time. But that memory is going to get erased, and the longer and longer, you know, time moves on, then it won't be as important in the lives of the people that are living in their existence at the time present. So it's great to honor things. You know, it's great to honor a story.
Y'all better stop saying that, man. Y'all better stop saying
that.
What
did I say? What happened?
That Jesus, I'm going to say, y'all better stop saying that Jesus story is actually, the whole Jesus story is Haru story. That's why I said it earlier. Okay, if it was the Haru story repackaged, and if that is true, it might the name change. It's just repackaged.
It was.
Okay, so that means, according to that tradition, is supposed to be
and true. Whitewash. Don't
again,
forget the whitewash.
Y'all have okay whitewash. Okay, you add all that in there. So that means y'all gonna be held accountable for it, because now if that story is supposed to be true and that's what y'all supposed to be doing, even though I'm gonna just give you. Now, most people say, 'cause we speak English today, so they change the name for the English speakers. They might say Jesus. I'm not trying to say that it's true, but I'm just getting it. Like, they might say, the Spanish brother said his name is Jesus. Arabic, they said, what's his name? Isa, ain't it? Isa. But in Hebrew, a brother might say, well, nah, brother, his name would have been in Hebrew. His name not have been Yeshua. So, but you said Jesus now, because we speak in English, his name was Jesus. So despite what his goddamn name would have been in the different languages, okay, so what he was teaching was true. So if you not following it, you being manifested error. Damn what the name was, because you got this language. See, you're not speaking Hebrew, because it was written in originally in Hebrew, so you translate so you can understand it today in English. But the point is, are you following it? So whether it was in Kemet and then it went to wherever it went and now they start calling them Jesus, y'all ass going to be in trouble because y'all ain't following it. I'm just not y'all saying that's true. But I'm just saying y'all would keep on saying that. That's why I said y'all better stop saying that shit, because all right, y'all trying to say it's all about Haru, and no matter if they change his name to Haru to Jesus because of the language change or whatever, y'all ass going to be in trouble. They're like, hey, well, wait a minute, why y'all didn't still follow me? Y'all knew that this story, because y'all been teaching that this story, okay, even though y'all said Haru, that was the name, that was my name in the Kemetic of the Medunetta, but, you know, it's English, y'all call it Jesus, but the thing, y'all knew this story was true, because y'all keep on teaching this story came from here, y'all knew it was true, but y'all didn't keep it. To hell with all y'all going to hell. Throw their ass in the river, in the lake of fire.
All right, so I'm glad that you went down this road, and you're right at the door of opening the mind to free the people and lead them back to self and the understanding of the spirit and the Ka and the Ba. And that's part of what Ma'at is teaching you about your spirit and your soul. And if you practice the righteous principles of Ma'at, it's going to put you right in tune and in line with Haru and the way in which his principles were in tune with the principles of Ma'at. So we all can get on the same vibe by doing those things. And then you'll understand the spirit inside of you is the spirit that rises up out of you that just does the goodness, that is always kind, it's always caring, it's always protecting of the women and the children. You know, you're doing these manly things that is innate in you. Like I say, it's the nature of us to be this way. Now, yes, if we follow a certain structure that is valued with the moral code for our living to make sure we don't violate each other, and become disharmonious or you know, unharmony. I can't find the word for this one, but when we're not in harmony with the planet and all the people that's, you know, in the planet and coexisting in a way where, okay, we protected what we have and we're not going to go and try to violate somebody else. And we don't want that for us either. So at a certain point, people were living harmoniously. But then that came discombobulated at another point. And so there's different stages of time that we go through. And different people start stuff and start trouble and don't want to continue with living a certain righteous way or obeying a certain laws that have been designed to keep everybody in order. So, you know,
check this out, brother. Check this out right fast. And I'm going to read something right fast, too. But one question there. okay, just say like me and Dave. Okay, just say Kemet, right? They got the laws of Maat, and okay, just say Kemet did originate all the commandments first and whatnot. And so Brother Dave and I, we coming along, we got a copy, studying a copy, as people saying, we studying a copy of what was created in Kemet, and that's what we following today. But it's the exact thing, even though we saying it originated from the Hebrews, but it's the exact thing was copied from. So you think the creator, just say this is the day of judgment, the creator, and we've been living it. Now, even though this is the copied version, but we've been living it to the T, even though somebody told us the original Hebrews had, but we've been living it to the T. Do you think the creator going to give a damn, excuse me, maybe I shouldn't have said that, like, you think the creator going to give a care that, well, that wasn't the original thing that exists out of Kemet? Do you think he's going to care about, because we said it came out of Kemet, or was it the or will we be judged because we were following it to the T? Or will he reward us? Because at least we were following it to the T.
It would be the opposite. It would be what you just said in the first place, is where we fell off of those standards of living. We fell out of the principles of Ma'at, and the Creator hated the fact that we did that, and he destroyed ancient Kemet. It was destroyed. It was buried in sand after it flooded, and it was buried in sand after the flood waters resided. And it was buried in sand for, 1,000 years or more?
Okay, I'm glad you said that.
It was just dug out recently in the last 200 years.
So let me repackage it then, since you said that it was buried. So since Kemet, okay, so what if me and Dave, we just so happened we was in Kemet at the time that it was falling down and it's going to get buried in the sand. So we got all this information about the laws and everything. We got away. We escaped. And all of it been covered up. But we got all these laws of Maat. Now, we don't move on. And now we don't just change, you know, we not calling ourselves Kemetians no more. We calling ourselves Hebrew. But these principles, we got the same thing. We just don't call it that no more. And
that's right.
But we following it
that's
to
right.
the T. So will the Creator reward us for still keeping those same commandments, or will he not?
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Because ultimately you have, you know, picked up where you left off, but you're talking maybe a different language, but you're still keeping the righteous principles. So it's still innately in you, even though you might want to go over the Bible or the Torah and the different things to keep you in tune with what it is this is all about. So we thank the Creator for people like you and Chief Rabbi for doing what you do, because it needs to be brought to the forefront what word is. The first thing given in the world was word by the Creator.
So that's all I'm glad you said that, because see, this is the point I've been trying to make the whole time. When Kemetic brothers and sisters keep saying that somebody stole this, or the Hebrews or whoever it is stole this out of Kemet, probably repackaged it and rebranded, but they living it to the T. They might just gave it a different name, but they living it to the T. So I keep saying, what is the problem? At least they living it, because a lot of these Kemetic cats ain't even living it. They just want to brag about somebody stole it from them.
Nobody's
yes,
mad
is.
At you, and you,
yes, it is.
You got to know.
The whole community is trying to tear down the Hebrews for and talking about y'all stole it.
Well,
but at least, cause, okay, here's the point, right, friend? I heard Dave finna say something. Well, wanted to say something. The point is, at least the Hebrews or the Israelite community always keep preaching. I don't give a damn they are Messianic or whoever it is. We keep preaching, we got to get back to the law, statute, commandment, get back to the law, statute, commandment. You don't hear none of these goddamn committed cats talking about, we got to get back to the laws of Maat. We got to get back to the laws of Maat. We got to get back to that. They don't teach that shit. They don't hear that. The Hebrews do. But we preaching, we teaching what we stole from y'all then. How come we are better teachers and propagators of what we stole from the I don't know if you claim to be it. How come we better preachers and propagators of the laws of Maat that we stole from y'all than the Kemetic community?
Let me go down the checklist.
Let me go down the checklist on the laws of my
office. Go ahead. I heard you too, dude, Chief. But I'm just saying, no, you ain't got to go down. I'm just saying how we, though, we the one that stole it from Kemet, but we're the one who propagated it to the community and said we got to get back to it. But the community, the Kemetic people who y'all said, y'all created it, I mean, originated it with the community,
but
not even propagating it. The damn Hebrew, who stole it out of one from saying we got to get back to it. That don't make no sense.
Well, it may be a tougher way of getting people to come to the understanding of the principles of Ma'at. It might be a longer struggle than it is to get somebody to be a Muslim or to join the Hebrew Israelites, because the laws of Ma'at predates everything else. And so if
we don't care about the predating, brother. We don't care about the predating. We just somehow, this is, that you get what I'm saying on the day.
Joe, my phone on mute. I was going to cuss Justin's ass out.
So what sense did that make, Dave?
Go ahead.
Dave, how is it, Dave, that we are Hebrew, we're teaching the laws of my heart? I'm going to call it what they call it, Dave. We're teaching the laws of my heart more than they teaching it. What sense did that make?
And you know what? It's like that with Islam, too. Like, I remember when I was practicing Sunni Islam.
Yes, sir.
I would be sitting up in there, and I'm being serious with you. I only knew the Al-Fatiha, the opening prayer, and Surah El-Nas, and then the prayer. But for some reason, every time I went up in the damn mosque, like, and not to sound like, not to sound, you know, like I wasn't a true Muslim or I was a traitor or something. But when I practiced Sunni Islam, we were breaking fast, right? 1 year, you know, after you break Ramadan, y'all, you know, brothers had donuts and milk and, you know, have a little eat fast. Now, I remember when I was Muslim, I used to carry my prayer carpet and all my books. Now, for some reason, don't get me wrong, I read the Quran about 4 or 5 times, English transliteration. Now, how come a lot of my Muslim brothers had a problem with me saying this? How come, you know, I asked my imam, he was a Moroccan, from Morocco. I asked my imam, I said, how come we accept Hebrew prophets? But Prophet Muhammad in the Quran is all quoting shit from the Bible. Mm. I said, what prophecies do here Prophet Muhammad have? Now, if he was a true prophet, why the hell did he need Hebrew prophets? If Islam was as old as hell, how come they had to go back to the Hebrew prophets? Like, even when you read, my imam ain't like my ass after I said that. I said, it don't make no fucking sense. Like you were just saying. So we sit up here. Yeah, they call it the Miraj, the Mishra, Isra. It's when Angel Gabriel taught Prophet Muhammad everything. Mm-hmm. Now, and he took him on a 30-night journey, kind of like Moses when Yahweh trained Moses in the commandments and all that. He trained him for what? 30 days, 30 nights? Now, they say the same thing with Prophet Muhammad. Angel Gabriel taught him 30 days, 30 nights. And they say that's the reason why they celebrate Ramadan, because of the fasting of Prophet Muhammad, you know, getting the revelation from the angel Gabriel from Allah. Now, I asked them, I said, all these people, your cold. And there's a scripture, I need to get it out. I don't know if you can get it out, but pretty much said in there that, okay, he learned about, James of Gabriel taught him about Abraham, Yaakov, which is Jacob, not Yaakov, the mad scientist. Now, he had Isaac, which is, I think Arabic is Yashak.
How come that two Jacobs ain't the same Jacob?
Now, they said also Musa, which is Moses, Io, which is Job. Now, I would ask brothers, and I asked my E-man, he ate my ass after that. But I would ask other brothers, and I remember being breaking Eve 1 year, you know, fast Ramadan. And I was sitting around and I was talking to brothers, some of my black American brothers. And they was like, why the hell you always got the Bible? Or why the hell? They asked me this because I would show them what I studied. Like I would write down my notes, I carried a copy of the Quran, King James Bible. Brother said, why don't you read out the Quran? I said, because in order to read the Quran, you got to understand the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And them brothers hated me. They was like, you's a Bible-told Muslim. I said, I don't give a fuck. I said, let me tell you something. There is no kind of prophecy that Prophet Muhammad prophesied in the Quran. Prophet Muhammad never prophesied shit. So that's why the Quran has to rely on Hebrew biblical prophets. Because then, Prophet Muhammad ain't had no motherfucking damn stone prophets. And so, like you were saying, you being a Christian, we being Hebrews, teaching commit motherfuckers. It's all backwards. But that's how it is. They can't find look. Y'all, Francis Press Wilson talk about the ISIS papers. Well, where's the original ISIS book? Why ain't they got an Egyptian Bible? Where is the Egyptian Bible at? If Egypt and Egypt predates Hebrews, where's the fucking Egyptian book? Where is that?
And what
prophecies, just like Prophet Muhammad ain't prophesied shit, what prophecies did our set have?
But, T, I know you remember this. When I said you, but I remember. Remember, I don't know, but maybe they're going to teach y'all in y'all mind. I remember, though, in the studying from the religion of Islam, and they call it the Deen of Islam. And even when it tells in the Torah, I mean the Quran, it talks about how the people of the book, they talk about the people of the book, what they call the Jews, how they went wrong and they changed the teachings of the Torah. And which, you know, they're talking about the Christians and people like they changed it. And they saying that, I remember one of my imams, and he talked about how it really the Quran is nothing but an extension of the Bible. And this is why you see in the high, and this is why you see really in the lodge. Yep, that's why you really see in the lodge, they have the Bible first is the compass, the square. And then the compass is the Holy Quran because it come after the Bible, because they're basically nothing but extension. And notice that Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, them is supposed to be saying that. That's why it tells the Muslim that it's mentioned even in the Quran that you have to follow the laws or the Torah of the Israelites, and you have to keep the same dietary laws of the Israelites, or they say the Jews in that, of the Jews, keep the laws and the dietary laws of the Jews. Because it only saying that the Jews went astray and they changed the doctrine of the Most High and went astray. And so the Holy Quran, whether the Holy Quran or what they call Islam, came to correct those things. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be an extension. To be well, when we change, as they call it, they change the teaching. That's why I be saying a lot of times when you see Islam, now we as Tanakh brothers, we say, man, Jesus was not the Son of God. He was not the prophet. He was not the Son of God. He was not the Messiah. And that's why we don't, as Torah only, we don't recognize him as being the Messiah, which in Christianity they call him the Christ. But, and this is why Islam has the same basic principles. They said that he is not God or Allah's son. They say Allah has no children. And that's why they said he is a prophet. He might have been a prophet. They call him a prophet. But they said, no, he was not the son of God. He was only a prophet. They don't even say he's a Messiah. That's why they, because they basically follow the same thing that the so-called Israelites said. They recognize him as a prophet, but no, he was not. That's why even in certain traditions that Tanakh only, they say, well, he might have been a man. Yeah, we believe that he existed. Do you really listen to some Old Testament or whatever, what they call Old Testament? They say, yeah, he probably existed, but he was not, because a lot of people came as saying they was the Mashiach. That's why people don't understand, again, and I was talking about in the conscious community, they do not understand this whole concept. They use this word Christian. They don't understand that. Now, even they saying the word Christos. I remember Dr. Yogi said that they had this word called Kress. It's in Hebrew, the comedic thing called Kress. That's why they're saying that Haru was a savior-type figure. But that is not the same as we, as the Israelite tradition or the Israelites, looked at as what they call Mashiach, which I'll call Messiah, a.k.a. Christian. It's not the same. So even when you listen to them conscious community cats that was on Sarnetta, they need to get with a Tanakh only or Torah only, brother and sister, to understand what is a Mashiach. What is the understanding? What is the requirement? Because that Jesus thing y'all getting, that ain't it. That's Christianity. And see, this is the confusion amongst that community, the comedic community, and because all of that, where they keep saying that Jesus came from the Christian concept of what came out of Kemet, that has nothing to do with the concept of the Hebrews. The whole Christian concept, I'm going to use this title, the Christian concept that they said came out of Kemet, is totally different from the concept of what the Hebrews were saying. We didn't look at that as the same as the goddamn Christians saying. That's why we don't agree with these Christians and these Messianics about Jesus being the Messiah. But they still keep, when they in their whole debates and stuff with the conscious community, that's why they keep on using Jesus as the precursor of dealing with the whole Bible. Notice that none of them don't never have a Tanakh only person on there. They might have Zion Lex every now and then, but that's it. They won't have no goddamn body else because they truly not trying to get an understanding, because they still really dealing with a comedic Christian understanding. They love Jesus, that concept of Jesus, that Savior concept that they have, more than anybody else. I got to hear up and read this. I've been trying to read this all damn night. And this is what y'all comedic cats who believe in the comedic theology. And I say, and I'm not trying to beat up on y'all. I'm just trying to say y'all got to be more genuine. Or the brothers and sisters who propagate this, y'all better be more genuine. Y'all beat up on the Christian, but the Christian pastor, but they used to. They teach you more prosperity now. They used to believe in these concepts that y'all say they stole from y'all. The Christian pastors them used to teach this. Oh, you got about a couple minutes, so let me hear up. We got about 10 minutes. Now, this coming from, like, this book about the Per M. Haru again. I'm just going to read what it says. It says, this is Asa. Asa in his form as king of the netherworld, where everyone goes after death. Now, take this out. It says, after death, there is a judgment that is carried out on the balance scale. On one end, we have the feather of Ma'at, and on the other end, we have the heart. The heart is the vessel, the container. It contains your thought, your feeling, and your desires and residue of your past actions. If your heart is heavy and with worry, anguish, unrighteousness, guilt, lies, deceit, and desire, then it goes to be weighed down. Then it is going to be weighed down the balance scale, and the scale of Ma'at goes up. This is an unrighteous soul. Y'all heard that? This is an unrighteous soul. The balance scale can be even when with Ma'at on the balance scale can be uneven. The heart can be heavier or the heart can be lighter than Ma'at. So this is where the whole concept, as y'all say, and I'm going to agree with y'all on this comedic thing, on this point. When the Christians are teaching about the don't say that too fast, Justice. I'm agreeing, and I have no problem with this. I'm agreeing that the Christians, I used to go against it, but I'm agreeing with the Christians teaching about the judgment scene, right, about the day of judgment, because the comedic brothers and sisters, this is why I said, don't say that too fast, Justice, because the comedic theology teach about a day of judgment. But at least again, this is why I said don't say it too fast, Justin, because at least the Christians used to teach there's going to be a day of judgment. You're going to have to stand before God to be judged. The Quran even speaks about that. There's going to be a day of judgment. It says every part of your body is going to be a witness against you. That's Holy Quran. Your hand.
That's all my eye. I'm so sorry to tell you.
Hey, Justice, I'm saying, CC, you're trying to chill these Kimmy too much, brother, but you're messing up. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. You're messing up, because here's why I'm saying you're messing up. I don't care. Why I'm saying you're messing up, brother, is what I'm trying to relate to the comedic community. Y'all saying everything came first. It's just like, okay, Adam, just say God gave it. I'm just going to use this terminology. The netters or the God gave it to the comedic brothers and sisters and saying, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a day of judgment. Osa, he's the God. It's going to be a day of judgment. Y'all going to be judged by me. But, okay, so y'all, they're not teaching this anymore. The comedic brothers and sisters are not teaching this. Who's teaching it now? The Christians are teaching it. The Holy Quran, the Muslims are teaching about it going to be a day of judgment. But the people who had it, they ain't teaching it. That's why I'm saying again, polite, he don't give a damn about no being weighed his heart, weighed up against, and I'm using him as an example, against the laws of my eye. Nature Boy didn't give a damn about that because they don't teach that. They don't believe that shit. They only use Kemet to go against and battle beyond people, because if they believe that there's going to be a day of judgment, brother, the actions wouldn't be what it is. That's what I'm trying to say. But don't cheerlead that too fast, brother, because the Kemet community don't preach, brother. I don't hear nobody preaching that y'all need to get your goddamn life right before the day of judgment comes, because you're going to have to stand before Osa to get your heart weighed. I hear Christians preach this stuff. I don't hear the country community teaching this shit.
I do.
I don't hear it, but I'm talking about how come Sinetta them, all these goddamn conscious community scholars that we hear, they don't teach this, brother. You don't hear Sarah Soon said of them teaching about no goddamn day of judgment where your heart going to be weighed, but y'all are beat, but they are, I keep saying you, they are beat up on these Christians, told Christians every goddamn day, but the Christians, at least, they teaching this.
These are simple things to have in your mind and understand about having a righteous lifestyle. You know, that's what it is. It's about being honest, being truthful. You know,
y'all are not teaching the people, brother. It's plenty of people running around here. But here's what I'm saying, Jess. I got to make it quick. But what I'm saying, bro, is people running around here espousing all this goddamn comedic information, bro. But how come, and y'all are beating down on polar-ass Christians, but they teaching the judgment, but the polar-ass, you got strippers running around here with unks on.
You're right.
Porn stars. All these people got these unks on and hollering about the man, that Kemet this, Kemet that. They not living this stuff, bro.
You absolutely right. I mean,
to be a, that's all I'm saying, bro.
You know what? We could grab anybody's people. We could grab anybody's religion and do them the same way. I mean, because there's people in those things that do those type of things. It's not everybody. It's those that stand out that end up doing things that they shouldn't do. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, he represents the whole comedic community. He only is.
What was that?
You're talking about Polite or the other guy, Soldier.
I'm just saying, the goddamn Nawabian community, goddamn it, they call it be, they supposed to be goddamn it, the in the Kemet. But hell, they goddamn it talking about joining LGBT. That's against my heart, ain't it?
That's right.
See what
you
I'm
sure
saying?
Is.
You got a whole bunch of goddamn it comedic lesbians and dykes and goddamn it homosexuals
right,
out here.
Right.
They not teaching this shit, bro. That's what I'm saying, bro.
That,
I know a bunch of them. They in the fucking Freemasonic lodges. That's a bunch of them, bro. That's a bunch of these motherfuckers running around here hollering, I'm Kemet, Kemet, Kemet. I know these motherfucking people personally, bro.
I got you, but they got a warped understanding of it, and it's messed up that they have a bad understanding of it, and they not living up to
it. No, because I'm saying they only use this to attack people and say, well, y'all stole this from us. Well, I don't give a fuck. Listen. That's why I'm saying,
well,
y'all heard me saying it. I don't give a fuck if the Christians or the Hebrews can teach this comedic thing repackaged better than we teaching it. Hey, long if we got it out, hey, man, go ahead and teach y'all ass off.
I ain't mad at you.
We
I appreciate
to be
y'all.
Doing it.
Look,
we seem to be the one, because the comedic community can't be the one doing it.
They can't.
Maybe
they
we don't know how. Maybe we lost our – maybe we don't lost –
they can't do it. They can't do it. It's too hard. It's too hard.
Hey, Justin.
Go ahead, Chief.
Hey, Justin. Hey, you know what, Justin? I'm going to tell you something, too, about the comedic conscious community. I don't know if you heard that thing that REI sent me. I don't know if you sent it to him.
I didn't send it to him. I ain't sent it to him.
Okay. Well, I didn't get finished the whole video, but most I've heard, okay, it made me, you know, when Garfield had said, 'cause I've talked to Garfield before. I don't know him, but I reached out to him and talked to him years ago, you know, because I remember he was talking about helping, you know, black folks to be able to get land and, you know, and he helped black folks get, like, grants and business grants. And so I reached out to him because, you know, years back, because I was thinking about trying to get a grant, have a business or whatever, you know, something like that. And I'm going to tell you something. All he could say was go to the video. Listen to this video. I listened to this motherfucking video. That was bullshit. It was the same shit White was doing. Teaching people, you know, I'm being serious. And I was just like, I don't know why I even reached out to this nigga. Like, I'm being serious. So when I heard him on this video talking about some Jesus, I thought this nigga hated Jesus. I thought he hated Hebrews.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, you know, Justin, be very fucking careful with this shit, man. Be very fucking careful. Look, Justin, I'm trying to tell you. Maybe you need dogs. I'm going to tell you, Moon Man make more sense than you.
But I'm the living incarnation of Peru and Jesus at the same time. That's me.
I'm being
I thought they were the same people.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. They are. That's why I say I'm both.
Hey, but listen to this, though, Justice. You believe in Farouk Muhammad, who came to you in 1930. Okay. They say you were born in, what, 1886? Now, listen.
1877.
It's 1877?
That's right. February 26th.
Okay. I was in the nation after I stopped practicing 20 years ago.
That's quite all right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
mm-hmm.
if you really believe in Farouk Muhammad, right,
mm-hmm.
and Allah and all that,
that's right.
We predate that shit. Because
our
attention, Yahweh was not born in no motherfucking 1877. So that means your fucking God is younger than our God. I'm just saying. And see, that's the thing when you hear brothers like Garfield, brothers like Sardinella, and Black Jesus Minister. See, the problem is with these comedic Afrocentric people is, see, they like you were saying, they double-minded. Like you were saying earlier, Aria, how they double-minded. How they, you know, they might be saying something that might mean this way. See, when it comes time for the way they preach, okay, and I figured this shit out a long time ago. These people get paid to spread misinformation. I don't know how many times. Like, while I was sitting there listening to that video, I was just like, I'm telling you something. I just kept hearing these niggas. All of them. This, I got the bachelor's in this place, like I was saying earlier. And one part of the video, they was just going over and over again about what fucking certifications they had, what their degree was in. Oh, I got a master's of fine arts. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
But you preaching connect. You learned this shit at a HBCU. John Henry Clark learned his shit from a HBCU. They did it. They have it. It wasn't no damn. They had to learn this in the HBCU.
Well, actually, a lot of what John Henry Clark learned, he learned from Schellenberger, the guy who was a Puerto Rican, Afro-Puerto Rican, who was a scholar of history and African history and stuff. So he learned a lot from that man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so listen, Justin. You just fucked up, man.
No,
so why the fuck is a damn Puerto Rican teaching a goddamn black man born in motherfucking slavery about his fucking history? Get the fuck out of here, man.
Because he was a black man who studied history. He studied history around the world.
I don't want to hear shit. Let me tell you something. Even when I was in the camp, even when I was getting back into my Hebrew culture, I'm going to tell you something. I went through and used to go to classes of some of these messianic Hebrew brothers. And with these 12 tribe chart motherfuckers. And I'm going to tell you, I used to hear these brothers. Some of the brothers I used to teach with, they had these Chinese, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Jamaican, all these Haitians, all these people standing on the corner in America teaching this and teaching me need to wake up. And we come back to our nationality. But then these motherfuckers is goddamn... When you listening to it, it's just like, okay, if you're Puerto Rican, why the fuck are you trying to teach me about my motherfucking history?
He's a black man, too. He just happens to speak Spanish.
No, just that's why, that's the issue with that. See, these people, and even with Sardinella was in the Black Panthers, but son, that is Dominican, full-blown Dominican.
No, yeah, he's not Dominican. You keep putting that out there. Sarnetta is just a black brother from Harlem, New York. He's not from Dominican.
No, that Nick.
He don't got no roots in Dominican Republic.
Hey, look.
They said it. He said it too, didn't he?
Even if he do. Everybody in New York come from somewhere else.
Everybody in New York comes
from one of the islands somewhere. Everybody.
Hey, yeah, they might come from the islands, but I ain't let no motherfucking Caribbean teach me.
Once you get over in America, Biggie Smalls' mom and them was Jamaican.
You wouldn't even know Biggie Smalls' roots was in Jamaica.
Let me tell you something. Buster Rhymes' roots is in Jamaica.
Man, fuck all them niggas. They won't shit.
You wouldn't think that, though. Just looking at you as an average black man, right?
Okay, let me tell you something. I don't want to hear shit from no motherfuckers that flee from their motherfucking country. I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah, but
okay.
They black people, man. They might have roots, but they grew up here.
Yeah,
they get treated just like everybody else.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Justin. It's a shame that you listening at these niggas, and these niggas ain't from here. You just bragged about how John Henry Clark was taught by a Puerto Rican. Let me tell you something, Justin. If you are really a black American, so you Puerto Rican?
No, he was Afro-Puerto Rican. Schellenberger.
But for some reason, you
Schellenberger.
Keep...
His name was Schellenberger.
You keep bigging up these damn Puerto Ricans, bro. I've been saying for a long time, Justin's an immigrant. I've been saying this shit for a while.
You know, you like Selena Cruz. You know, you listen to Selena Cruz. You probably related to her.
That's the reason why you put that one motherfucker on the show talking about China. And every time we ask him what nationality he was, brother, I don't get into that. You remember that nigga? He was a proud Puerto Rican American.
He wasn't proud.
And
then he had to hide under,
then look what he did too. He hid up under one of them damn a comedic name, Har, whatever that
yep.
name was.
Yeah, Hotep.
Yeah. And,
see that?
And you know what? And you know what, Justice? This is something I'm going to tell you. Every time you deal with these foreigners, right? Like you, like don't get me wrong. I got a couple of Caribbean buddies, a couple of Spanish guys I deal with. Let me tell you something. You just said that Biggie's mom was a teacher. She taught in America. Okay, you can be a teacher, whatever. But let me tell you something with this. These motherfuckers, they come over here trying to teach black Americans, but then they act proud. They come over here acting proud as fuck. But that's why, okay, we acting proud as fuck of being black and Jamaican, but your ass fled from over there. Why the fuck are you so proud of your motherfucking culture and your, because I'm going to tell you something.
But look,
like
check
was,
it out real quick.
Like I was, let me finish, Justin. I know it's one thing. When I was in, and this is why I say I don't fuck with that 12 tribe chart. When I was studying with some 12 tribe chart Hebrew brothers, they would tell us, we Israelite, this and that. But then you go to their car, they got a Puerto Rican flag hanging in the motherfucking mirror. I'm like, so you a Hebrew Puerto Rican, in other words. Now they'll stand in America, tell us that we need to denounce American culture. We need to denounce where we here. But then it's just like, okay, if that's the case, why don't you denounce your Puerto Rican here?
You can't do that.
You did that.
But look, I know.
Your,
I,
you, If they so proud, why don't they stay in their fucking country? If they, that's what kills me about these people. They talk all this pro-black, pro-this. They want to teach black people, like you were just saying. But they need motherfuckers is in America. They parents fled from a shitty-ass goddamn country full of prostitution and full of goddamn drugs and a bunch of fucking bullshit. And the Africans, too. Look, like I said earlier, them Africans, you so pro-Kemet, so pro-African, but when I was practicing Sunni Islam, I used to deal with Northern Africans. Them motherfuckers don't talk that Kemet shit. Them Moroccan, I ain't never seen that actual Moroccan. Man, trust me, my whole boss was Moroccan. I ain't never seen not one of them walk around with no motherfucking feds talking about some they Moorish nationality. Oh, yeah, I never seen a Egyptian Muslim brother or Egyptian period with no fucking unk around their neck. For some reason, they come over here to teach you this shit. But they ain't living. They don't do all that shit Sarnetta do. They don't do all, they ain't walking around with no RBG flag. But all then right, they want.
There's some Puerto Ricans that only ride with the black culture, or they grew up and they don't really, they don't speak Spanish. They didn't grow up speaking Spanish. So they more kind of filter over to wanting to be with the black people. And so what it is I got a friend of mine, he married two different sisters. First he married one and had a child with her, and then he married another one after that didn't work out and had two children with her. So he got three children by black sisters. And I don't know what, he don't have no roots to his Puerto Rican thing, even though he look Puerto Rican and he is Puerto Rican, but he don't speak Spanish, and he speak maybe a little bit, but not enough to where he's going to talk a whole lot of shit, like, you know, to people about things. So the thing about that one was there's this other lady who I knew who married an NFL football player, and she was a Puerto Rican, very pretty Puerto Rican lady. And in their house, all they had was black art up on the walls. And around the Christmas season, all they had up was black representation of, like, Christmas and Santa Claus and everything. Everything was on the black culture tip. It wasn't no Puerto Rican stuff. It wasn't nothing else up in the house but African-American culture or African stuff and, you know, black Santa Claus and stuff. So a lot of Puerto Ricans, they don't be all on to that other thing. Sometimes they really want to be with black people, be in line or in tune with how we are. And when I'm in the Puerto Rican community and when they talk to you, some of them can